Mako. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Mako offers a variety of services including collision repair, a full new paint job, and they can touch up scrapes and scratches. So when you think of May, think Mako at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Make an appointment today for a free estimate. They also offer a military discount. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992. Or stop by Mako today.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Hey, hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. The Ben Shapiro Show is sponsored by ExpressVPN. I talk about them every single show. Why haven't you gotten a VPN yet? Get ExpressVPN right now at expressvpn.com/Ben Shapiro. There's a lot of talk every time there is a horrible mass shooting, a school shooting particularly, about the kinds of laws that need to be on the books, the kind of protocols that need to be adopted, the kind of black letter things that can be done to change the circumstances in which we live. There is only one problem with all of this. When it comes down to it, the law is only implemented by human behavior. And so we have a bunch of laws on the books all the time that are violated in every one of these shootings, ranging from, you know, pure homicide laws to usually gun laws that are violated in the course of conduct. In this particular case, there is nothing in the state of Texas that allows a person under the age of 21 to, for example, carry a concealed handgun. They're not allowed to walk onto school premises with a gun. These are things that the shooter just did not care about and walked onto school premises and started murdering children. All of this sort of stuff happens all the time. And this is also true with regard to, for example, the Buffalo shooting. The Buffalo shooting, there are plenty of red flags. Nobody ever filed for an executive restraining order. No one ever filed for an ERPO, a restraining protective order, that would have prevented this person from being able to purchase guns despite a long and lengthy history of mental issues, violent mental issues. So when the laws are on the books, but then they don't actually properly get enforced, this becomes a question of human behavior. And this is particularly true when it comes to police procedure. We've seen over and over again, whether it is Parkland or whether as it now turns out it is Uvalde, that the police in these cases, whether it is failures of training or failures of courage, have not done their job to protect innocent people. We saw this when it came to Parkland most prominently, when it turned out that Scott Israel, the sheriff in Parkland, was completely incapable of either training his officers or getting his officers to go in and do what they had to do in order to stop the Parkland shooter. And then he sat by grinning as various members of the media and some of the school children themselves attacked politicians for broad scale gun laws. Dana Loesch was attacked on CNN as sort of the progenitor of the Parkland attack. Meanwhile, Scott Israel, who is really responsible for the failures of security that led to the Parkland shooting and to the terrible response of the Parkland PD, he was sitting there basically grinning it away on national TV. And we see this over and over and over again. There's a great irony to the fact that the left's attitude toward the police generally is incredibly skeptical. The idea is that the police are the repressive arm of the state. The police are systemically racist. The police are bad guys. But then when it comes to situations like this, we're not allowed to discuss whether the police actually did their jobs. And this is a bizarre circumstance. So yesterday, for example, the White House was specifically asked about the behavior of the police in Uvalde. And as we will discuss in just one moment, it now appears that there was basically no protection at the school, that the police did not do their jobs.
We now go live to Reading Colt 45's baseball for the season opener.
All right. The opening day of baseball for the Reading Colt 45 is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, 226-bed acute care hospital offering inpatient, outpatient, and wellness services. It is nationally recognized and accredited by the Joint Commission offering a diverse range of medical services. Shasta Regional Medical Center is the only hospital in the area to be awarded the grade A of all the hospitals rated in the North State. Shasta Regional Medical Center at 1100 Butte Street in Reading. Welcome to opening day for the Colt 45s. I'm Austin White here with Ken White, my father and co-host. And we're ready for hopefully a good day of baseball. We got some rain going right now, but we should be starting up hopefully in a few.
This has to be
And, you know, it's been a long time, it seems, without baseball on the radio. I believe it's been 2 years since we've been on the radio doing the Colt 45s.
2 years, two seasons lost, but hey, we're back and back strong. We're excited to see the Colt 45s and the boys of summer here in Redding. And just a few more minutes and we should be getting going.
Absolutely. 7:15 is the recorded start time, and it looks like we've got the color guard getting ready to go out on the field. And we'll be getting ready for the national anthem in a second.
Umpires are exchanging lineup guards with the managers for the Colt 45s and our hosts, our guests today.
Our guests today.
we're fighting with the rain here, folks, so bear with us just a little bit.
All right. It's going to be in the third place base club VIP pavilion. We have O2 Employment Services, the North State's largest employment and HR company. They have been taking care of all things employment for local businesses for more than 20 years. They specialize in staffing, recruiting, HR, payroll, workers' comp, and benefits. They are a proud supporter of our community and the Colt 45s. And that rain seems to not be letting up. It just keeps coming down. We're here sitting under a tarp that we're holding up ourselves under over the equipment.
Who would have thought
that
Memorial Day weekend was
running? Oh, yeah.
Well, if you want to come down to the game, come on down, because we need to be not expect this game to stick around. It should be a great game here just as soon as we can get things rolling. But we're having quite a few raindrops. We need to.
Yes, we are absolutely trying to keep all this equipment safe. And, you know, hey, I mean, as long as it's not thundering and lightning, we're doing all right. Unless the field gets too wet, in which case they may have to call it. But we're hoping that doesn't happen right now.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're going to go to the end of the game. The umpires are up on the field right now, going over the ground, looking at it for both games. You've got our Yosemite Sam or Homer out there on the field right now. And he's outfit that looks like Yosemite Sam. He's got the big handlebar mustache out there. He's a ball player that's good. We've got our color guard standing by, and we've got our it looks like the Colt 45 scrap crew putting a tarp over the pitcher's mouth. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, so it looks like they may be holding off for a few more minutes on getting this game started. You know, reported start time is supposed to be 7:15. It is now 7:12, and it looks like they're still just trying to fend off the rain a little bit. Hope it settles down here within the next few minutes so we can go ahead and get started.
It's really cool here in Redding.
Absolutely, and we're going to go ahead and go to break for a minute while we wait for this rain to settle down. Remember, this game is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, which is proud to sponsor the Redding Colt 45's opening day baseball.
Happy cupcake coloring sheet. Get creative and have them post your creation for a chance to win a meal for you and your favorite adult. We can't wait to see what you come up with. Happening this month only at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Redding.
Black Bear Diner.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to Colt 45's Baseball, brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Right now, we are still fighting through a little bit of rain, hoping to get this game started here within the next few minutes. It is currently 7:16. Our hopeful start time was 7:15, but obviously that did not happen. We're still waiting for that color guard to potentially go out onto the field and hear that national anthem. So
the rain, it's just one of those cells. Decided to park itself right over historic Tiger Field, and so we're just waiting for this thing to go by. And as soon as we do, I think we'll get the game underway. There's a tarp over the field now. Umpires are at home plate discussing everything right now. I really don't think that this frame is going to get in the way. I think it'll pass on by at this point.
And with that, it looks like the color guard may be taking shelter in the dugout right now. It looks like we might have just hit a hot spot with the rain. It's coming down even a little harder now. So all we can do right now is hope and pray that it goes away pretty quickly. So we want to watch some baseball here tonight and listen to some as well for you guys. I think the concession stand seems to be faring pretty well. We got people down there getting their hot dogs. So, hey, if you want a hot dog, still come on down to the stadium and get something while we wait for this rain to pass by. You know, we are really hoping that within the next few minutes, it'll just pass. And this is just a hot spot, but right now it's not looking so certain. What are you thinking, Ken?
Well, I'm watching the coaches and the umpires kind of talk it over. It looks like they just discussed it with the infield announcer, and it looks like they're just
going to be... Okay, we are at a short rain delay.
And they are officially calling it a rain delay.
We will get the program on the road.
They are just going to go ahead and wait it out, wait for it to subside, and then hopefully get the show on the road. Right now, the rain is coming down hard. We are taking shelter underneath the little tarp that we have. But it's not looking so hot for us right now.
It's looking nice and cool and wet. But again, I do think if you haven't got your tickets, come on down. I think we're going to have a baseball game just as soon as this little cell passes over.
Well, let's hope so. But I got to say, we are getting pretty wet right now, folks. I am pretty much soaked. You know, I mean, our equipment's doing all right. We're keeping it dry pretty well. Computer's a little wet, but we're doing okay. I mean, I gotta say, most of these fans out here look pretty unfazed. I think everyone who lives in Redding kind of expects this kind of weather that just goes back and forth constantly. Although we're hoping for a good start to that summer season.
Well, we've waited 2 years. We can wait another 15 minutes. Ground crew out there putting the tarp over home plate and the area around it. Looks like we're gonna have a little bit of a delay here.
Okay.
We're gonna go back to the studio and let you listen to something while we wait out this rain. But as soon as we come back, we'll be kicking off the 2022 season for the Colt 45.
Absolutely, and remember, this game is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, proud to sponsor the Redding Colt 45's opening day.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Grot. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com. Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Choose from a tasty half-pound burger, pepperoni pizza, sandwich or hot dog with a side of fries, potato or macaroni salad, and dessert. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to 2495 Athens Avenue, north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center, where our food speaks for itself.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868. 221-5868. MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
We're going to currently resume regular programming for KCNR 1460. We have a rain delay for the Colt 45s game, and we will be back as soon as possible.
While this reporter is on scene in Chicago, just on the street, a man walks into frame and points a gun at the camera. I promise you, this guy is violating a bevy of gun laws. Those laws exist in Chicago. What's he doing? Why don't we have more gun laws? We never talk about gun control in the context of where the vast majority of actual gun violence takes place in the country. Because again, the case does not follow. The fact is, in the United States, every year, there are under 400 people who are killed using rifles. Every year in the United States, there are tens of thousands of people who are killed using handguns. But what do we always talk about? When you talk about guns, we talk about banning rifles. We talk about banning AR-15s. We talk about making sure that 19-year-olds can't buy an AR-15, even though, again, the vast majority of gun violence in the country is done using handguns. There's a reason for that. It doesn't fit the political narrative. Here is this footage from Chicago. I mean, this is incredible stuff. This is a reporter on the street, and a man literally just walks by and points a gun at the camera.
While our reporter was in the middle of a live report about gun violence in Chicago, a man walked up and pointed what appeared to be a firearm at our crew. Right now, police are calling this man a person of interest, accused of aggravated assault with a firearm. If you have any information regarding who he is or where he is, please contact Chicago police.
I have a question. Does that look like a law-abiding citizen to you? Look like a law-abiding citizen probably will abide by all available gun regulations and laws. Is that what that looks like to you? So when we talk about gun control, again, it is important to recognize the only time we have a mass media conversation on gun control is not when there's a normal weekend in Chicago. It is when there is a mass school shooting, which is a statistical outlier, both in terms of how many school shootings happen in the United States every year, every one of them an act of horrific evil, and also how many people die in such incidents versus how many people die using other weapons across the United States and where they die in the United States using those weapons, which suggests that a lot of this is politically driven, because when it comes to the actual solutions to school shootings, they actually are quite different from the solutions that would attend to, for example, gun violence between gangs in major American cities. The media don't want to talk about all that, so they sort of use these school shootings as a hook to talk about gun control, and then they propose a bunch of stuff that wouldn't have actually stopped the school shooting from happening in the first place. There is another, and just there's so much tragedy upon tragedy happening in Uvalde. Well, this story is horrific. The husband of one of the teachers killed in the shooting at Robb Elementary School in Uvalde actually died on Thursday of a heart attack. Joe Garcia lost his wife Irma Garcia, 46, in the shooting. This is according to Mediaite. And apparently his nephew announced his uncle's death on Twitter, saying that he passed away due to grief. He said essentially that he had a heart attack after finding out that his wife was dead. The Garcias were married for 24 years and had four children who are left without either parent. And these sorts of incidents obviously have tremendous collateral damage. Families that are broken, people who will never recover, is just awful, which would behoove us to actually discuss some actual solutions. But as we've been saying, for a lot of people, it's not about the solution. It's about the political pandering. Alrighty, coming up, the entire left has basically centralized on the idea that if you oppose them, it's because you don't mind school shootings. You're actually okay with them. The Ben Shapiro Show.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
North State Relief, a nonprofit serving Northern California communities, is raising awareness that there are free financial counseling services available to North State residents, provided by certified counselors at Balance Pro. They offer free HUD certified financial counseling for debt, rental, and mortgage assistance, student loans, and financial counseling for veterans and fire victims. Get advice from the pros at balancepro.org or by calling 1-800-777-PLAN. That's 1-800-777-7526.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Grok. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Breasts, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just text APPLY NOW to 88909 right now to get started. That's APPLY NOW to 88909. Auto financing the easy way. Text APPLY NOW to 88909.
What is Pop Earth? Pop Earth is short for Population Earth, a 501c3 nonprofit focused on providing holistic health services and options for those with special needs, including autism and other developmental disorders. Do you know someone ages 5 to 65 with a developmental disorder that could benefit from yoga, Reiki, dance, exercise, and massage therapy? These sessions help with coordination, balance, stress, and more. Learn more at popearth.org. That's popearth.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Democrats have decided that rather than trying to solve problems, making political hay is probably the best thing you can do. Senator Richard Blumenthal from Connecticut, he says that gun violence is going to be on the ballot, right? And this is what they want. It's a, they didn't bring up any votes. They didn't bring up any votes on gun action in the last couple of days. Chuck Schumer said he's not going to because they don't actually want to vote because it turns out a lot of the stuff they're proposing is unpopular. The idea here is if you don't like gun violence, you should vote for us. We don't have solutions, but the other guys love gun violence. So you should vote for us. It'll be on the ballot. Here's Richard Blumenthal.
Let me be very blunt. Gun violence prevention is going to be on the ballot this November. It will be on the ballot this November, and we need to make it a decisive issue. And we will vote them out if they fail to vote the right way.
Vote the right way on what? Vote the right way on what? What is the proposal that you have made that would have stopped a school shooting like this? No one can answer that very simple question. I have made multiple proposals on this program and for years about how you stop school shootings like this, ranging from the societal. You need to create social institutions that prevent family breakdown. You need to have stronger communities where people are actually aware of the red flags in their communities and are taking advantage of the existing laws, like red flag laws, in order to inform the police when there is a dangerous person in the community and giving the police the power to actually do something about that, changing the mental health statutes so that people who are a danger to themselves and others can be involuntarily committed for longer than 48 hours before you just release them back onto the street to murder people. And these are all things we can do. Hardening schools, making sure that there is the proper fencing, making sure that there are armed guards on premises, making sure that there's one point of entry and multiple points of exit, making sure that the doors inside the buildings automatically lock when teachers enter and exit rooms so that if somebody gets into the hallway, they can't just go room to room shooting people. Right? All of these are things that, by the way, are recommended by security professionals right, left, and center. Nothing I'm saying here is outside the mainstream, and all of it is very doable. But we don't have any of those conversations. Instead, it's about demonization of people who, what, believe in school shootings? I don't believe that Democrats believe in school shootings. I believe they're politically pandering right now. But I certainly don't believe that they are in league with school shooters. But they seem to believe that everybody who disagrees with them is in league with school shooters. Joe Biden yesterday, he said the only reason to own an AR-15 is because basically you're a sicko. Here's the president of the United States yesterday.
What in God's name do you need a solvent for except to kill someone? Deer aren't running through the forest with Kevlar vests on, for God's sake. It's just sick. And the gun manufacturers have spent two decades aggressively marketing assault weapons, which make them the most and largest profit. For God's sake, we have to have the courage to stand up to the industry.
Yeah, it's not the gun industry that is making this happen. The reason that I own a rifle is to shoot bad people who try to threaten my family. That is why I own a rifle. That's why I think the vast majority of Americans own a rifle. It's why you have people who are on campus carrying AR-15s, depending on which campus you are on. It's why you have armed security guards to act as both a deterrent and actually as a first line of defense if somebody decides to do something like this. But the White House's idea is always gun control and gun control only. It's not just that this is one of their myriad proposals. It's their only proposal. It's the only thing we are allowed to discuss. If you discuss anything else, you are eliding the problem. But what about the fact that nothing you propose? I keep coming back to this because it's true and it's just mind-boggling. It's bewildering. Not a thing that you have proposed stops these school shootings. It does not stop the school shootings. And yet you keep proposing these things as though it would. And so Karine Jean-Pierre, she says, well, you know, the answer is to take away guns. So first of all, unless you're talking about a mass gun confiscation, I don't know what policy you're proposing. Are you proposing a mass gun confiscation of hundreds of millions of guns in the United States? Let's try to put that on the ballot. Really run on that. See how that goes for you. See if the American people are willing to do this. By the way, even when they had a mass gun confiscation and buyback in Australia, only one third of people who actually own guns turned in their guns. We'll get some more on this in just one moment. First, even though you're far from ordinary, the truth is ED is actually really common. In fact, 52% of dudes aged 40 to 70 experience some form of erectile dysfunction. Go to GetRoman.com/Ben right now. Speak to a U.S. licensed healthcare professional about erectile dysfunction. Get $15 off your very first month of treatment. The benefits of ED treatment can help you reconnect with your partner, rediscover the joy of sex, Look, here's the important thing. Your biology needs to work the way that it is supposed to. Roman makes sure that happens. Roman's system is completely confidential, totally discreet, no big logos or labels on the packages. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it'll ship to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, convenient, and discreet. And getting started is super simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/Ben, complete an online visit today. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete that online visit today, connect with a U.S. licensed healthcare professional, and get it taken care of. Go to GetRoman.com/Ben. If you're prescribed, get $15 off your first month of ED treatment. Make sure you're ready to have confidence and control this year. Roman ready. The rates of gun violence in Australia were already quite low before they had that mass gun confiscation and gun buyback. Karine Jean-Pierre suggests, well, you know, if more guns were the solution, we'd be the safest country, which is just, there are many holes in this logic.
America has more guns than people in this country. If more guns were indeed the solution, we would be the safest country in the world, but we are not. And so the president has been very clear. He wants action. He wants to Congress to take action. He wants to turn this pain into action.
If more guns were the solution, we'd be the safest country. Well, more guns in the hands of people who are responsible is a solution. More guns in the hands of people who are irresponsible and evil is not a solution. We all know this. So instead of trying to target the people who are irresponsible or mentally ill or sick or evil, instead of trying to target that, your solution is to try to take the guns away from law-abiding people? I have a counter to if more guns were the solution, we'd be the safest country. If more gun laws were the solution, Chicago would be the safest city. If more gun laws were the solution, Washington, D.C. would be the safest city. All of this springs from a deeper notion, which is that the government can solve every problem by passing a law, which just is never true. Government cannot solve every problem simply by passing a law. It requires human beings to implement that law. It requires people to comply with the law. It requires people to trust the law. It requires a bunch of things to happen. Even if you were to pass a law confiscating all guns in the country, you'd actually have to effectuate that. How many people would die in the effectuation of such a policy? So all of this it's nonsense. But again, they have to come up with some bad guy and then target the bad guy as political opposition. So Karine Jean-Pierre, she says the NRA is contributing to gun violence. Okay, this is coming from the party that has ripped on the police so routinely that the murder rates have spiked by a huge percentage over the last 2 years in every major American city. And they're saying it's the NRA contributing to gun violence. The NRA is basically a defunct organization at this point. The NRA does not have anything close to the kind of power that it had 20 years ago. The NRA has been having all sorts of internal corruption issues. It's been having all sorts of internal financial issues. It doesn't have the kind of sway and pull that it used to have. The truth is that the gun lobby in the United States is just people who like the Second Amendment. The vast majority of people I know who own guns are not members of the NRA. And the vast, vast, vast majority of people I know who are advocates of Second Amendment rights are not members of the NRA. This is not anti-NRA. They're just pointing out the NRA is way weaker than it once was. And not only that, even when the NRA was strong, that was not the reason why people liked the Second Amendment in the United States. It's a lobbying group. This is like saying that Planned Parenthood is solely responsible for abortion law in the United States. That's not right. Abortion law in California, Planned Parenthood's prevalence in California is reflective of the fact that there are a lot of people who love abortion in California. But here's Karine Jean-Pierre suggesting it's the NRA contributing to gun violence. Not, for example, allowing the mentally ill to be out on the streets, able to do whatever they want without involuntary commitment laws on the books. It's not a question of police procedures. It's not a question of yelling at the police every 5 minutes and sicking the DOJ on them. It's not a problem of family breakdown. None of those it's the NRA. Nailed it.
What is inappropriate is that the leadership of the National Rifle Association has proven time and time again that they are contributing to the problem of gun violence, not trying to solve it. And it's shameful that the NRA and their allies have stood in the way of every attempt to advance measures that we all know will save lives from gun violence.
No, you don't. You don't. And so again, it's all about the gun lobby. You're corrupt. If you oppose them, you're corrupt. Okay, so here Richard Blumenfeld's doing the same thing. It's the gun lobby. The gun lobby's days are numbered. You know what? You could abolish the NRA tomorrow. It wouldn't do a damn bit of difference because a huge number of Americans just disagree with you.
I want to say a word to the gun lobby. Your days are numbered. You are a danger to society and to America if you continue to oppose these common sense measures.
Oh. You're a danger to America if you oppose me. Some of the other ridiculous proposals have been made. So Democrats have a variety of proposals that they are making right now. Not before, of course, suggesting that they are the solution. They themselves are the solution to school shootings, even when they're mass shootings that take place fairly routinely in their states. Gavin Newsom doing this. So this, the governor of California, who was subjected to a recall by his own citizens. He survived the recall, but he is certainly not any great shakes as a governor. There's a reason people are leaving California in droves. He was ripping on the state of Texas and suggesting that Texas is really, really bad because you have the freedom to keep and bear arms in the state of Texas.
Do not give in to the cynicism and all the crap that you heard today in that press conference around evil and mental health that completely belies the fact that there's only one nation on planet Earth that separates itself from all other nations, and that's the United States of America. And the perversion of a Second Amendment that begins around well-regulated.
Okay, that is, first of all, he doesn't understand the Second Amendment at all. Well-regulated does not mean regulations, as in, like, law. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the preservation of a free state, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. That phraseology means a militia that regulates, meaning that they were called regulars, that actually goes out and practices, being necessary to the preservation of a free state from the federal government and foreign invaders. The right to keep and bear arms on an individual level shall not be infringed, because you know who constituted the militia? It wasn't just like there was a shack there with all the guns, and the head of the militia would call everybody up on the phone and be like, hey, go get your gun from the shack over there. Everybody had their gun at their house. And as far as the idea that this is the only country in the world, this is such a trite, nonsensical line from Gavin Newsom. As John Lott points out, since 1998, there have been a total of 9 attacks similar to the Robb Elementary School shooting. 9 is 9 too many. Once you adjust for population, there are many other countries from Germany to Russia to Finland that have comparable rates of school shooting. Of course, it's true. People tend to ignore the fact that the United States is a very, very populous and large country. The United States population at this point is 330 million people as of 2020. 330 million people. The entirety of Europe is only about twice that of the United States, a little over twice that of the United States. We're a very large country, which means that there are a lot of varieties in laws. There are a lot of evil people out there. And so then we get to the actual proposals, and the proposals are increasingly stupid. We'll get to more of this in just a moment, but first a word from our partners at Noble Gold.
Now, the stock market's at a record high again. Things are looking up. Houses are selling in a week. Interest rates are still crazy low. And to top it all off, the government printed $5 trillion in new money. You might have noticed that all of this doesn't add up. It's like those plates spinning on top of those sticks. When they stop, it all comes crashing down, right? You need to keep your cash safe, not crashing down. Using precious metals is a well-proven way to do this. In a gold or silver IRA 401k rollover, you even get tax breaks while you bomb-proof your money. To find out how you can do this, you need to talk to one of Noble Gold's representatives. They're patient and knowledgeable and can help you navigate the precious metals market. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free America the Beautiful solid silver 5-ounce coin with any qualifying IRA that you start. Call 877-646-5347 now to find out more, or visit our website at noblegoldinvestments.com. Investing involves risk. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.
Alrighty, coming up, we'll get to some of the Democrats' proposed solutions. They are not good. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Choose from a tasty half-pound burger, pepperoni pizza, sandwich or hot dog with a side of fries, potato or macaroni salad, and dessert. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to 2495 Athens Avenue, north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center, where our food speaks for itself.
It looks like spring, the time of year for dust, pollen, busy birds, and bugs. The time to stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. With car wash packages starting at only $9. Or buy 5 car wash coupons and get 1 free. Or buy 10 car wash coupons and get 3 free. Quick and Clean Car Wash is fast and convenient at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So Democrats are attempting to propose some hard solutions. Those solutions are not useful, unfortunately. So then there are a bunch of solutions that are being proposed by the left. So I've already proposed to you a bevy of solutions that apparently are not worthy of consideration, ranging from, you know, lock the doors, to change the protocols for the police, to train the police better, to make sure the police actually go in and stop bad guys, to making sure there are armed guards on school premises, that people can't just walk into a school and spend 12 minutes hanging out outside the school before they're confronted by anybody who could actually stop them. Democrats, however, have different solutions. So, for example, Representative Abigail Spanberger, a supposed moderate, from the state of Virginia, she suggests what we really need here is we need to change the ability to reload on guns. Quote, when I began as a federal agent, I carried a gun and two extra mags every day. My mags were marked for law enforcement use only because they held more than 10 rounds. At that time, federal law limited magazine capacity to 10 rounds outside of law enforcement use. That provision was part of the 1994 federal assault weapons ban, which expired in 2004. Large capacity magazines equate to more fatalities when a would-be shooter can fire shot after shot. Research confirms that limiting magazine capacity saves lives. She does not cite the research that demonstrates this. The sad reality is that requiring would-be mass murderers to reload saves lives, permitting people escape time and law enforcement response time. That is why I support legislation to limit magazine capacity. So, again, they've done this in California. There's only one problem with this sort of logic, and that is that it is stupid. The reality is that if you are a person who is dedicated to committing a mass shooting, you'll simply modify your gun. The reason that I point this out is because this is precisely what the Buffalo shooter did. Quote, massacre suspect said he modified Bushmaster rifle to hold more ammunition, according to the Washington Post, May 15th, 2022. The suspect in the Buffalo supermarket massacre purchased the primary weapon allegedly used in the shooting, a used Bushmaster XM15 semi-automatic rifle, from a licensed dealer near his hometown, but said he then illegally modified the gun so he could use a high-capacity magazine. He said he bought the Bushmaster in January from Vintage Firearms, a small gun store about 15 miles from his home in Conklin, New York, paying $960 for the rifle, a sling to carry it, and some ammo. He also recounted how he acquired two backup weapons, a Mossberg 500 shotgun and a Savage Axis XP bolt-action rifle he received from his father as a Christmas present when he was 16 years old. And again, he suggested that he modified the gun itself so that it would actually hold more ammunition. So, good luck with this being your, so your solution is not more armed guards in schools or hardening the security perimeter or making sure that the police actually know how to deal with this sort of stuff or punishing the police for not dealing with this sort of stuff. No, your solution is he's going to have to take the.
We now go back to the season opener, Reading Colt 45 with Austin White.
That is going to be Brilliant, brilliant stuff. Meanwhile, an even dumber solution. A reporter yesterday suggested to the White House, and the White House took it under advisement, that perhaps what we need to do here is punish gun companies by removing from them the PPP loans that were available to businesses that were shut down during COVID. And the White House said, well, maybe. So now, the idea from the White House is, you are a legal business that carries on the transactions of producing firearms that people generally home defense of hunting, business development, defense of self and others.
What we got going on tonight.
And we are going to go back in time, and if somebody bought your gun and then used it to murder, we are going to retroactively remove your gun. We're going to remove the grants.
Number 31.
This is what reporters suggest.
Isaac.
And Green Joe cares a little bit. Give me the name of the company. What's
it? Ready to get underway in just a bit. Apparently, the company more than ready to play. It's beautiful out here tonight. Come on down and grab some great food. They got refreshments out here.
If I can ask everybody, please stand up.
Honestly, Michael, I need to check with the team and the
national anthem.
Gentlemen and ladies, please remove your hats.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Want to tell you something about the flag that's there in display. Copy that? I would like to introduce our national anthem singer, Miss Erin Woodward, and our color guards.
The colors are presented now as Erin Woodward walks out onto the field, and she will begin in just a moment. U.S. Navy Color Guard presenting arms. Senior Erin Woodward standing behind, or in front of home plate, I should say. What a beautiful.
And you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleam, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. O'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streamed, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home.
Beautiful rendition.
Miss Erin Woodward.
That was Erin Woodward. Hope you folks
and
were able to hear it.
Color guards.
And now it looks like the players are standing out on the field for a second as the color guard is doing something. All right. And it looks like we're marching an exit in the Colt 45 standard attention on the third baseline. While the color guard exits the field. What a beautiful night for baseball.
Yes, it is.
The smell of tri-tip barbecuing in the background. The color guard exiting the field. Your red and Colt 45 standing on the third baseline. It is a beautiful evening.
All righty. Okay,
and
folks. Now comes our ceremonial first pitch.
So, do the rest of the play. Catcher starts to head towards home
plate. Throwing the first pitch.
We are about to
a long time Ready Colt 45 fan. Usually he was always the first one in line just when the gates open. I'd like to introduce to you Mr. David Jewell.
We have Mr. David Jewell coming out onto the field now. He is about to throw out the first pitch. Longtime Colts 45 fan. And looks like they're trying to get him a ball right now.
David Jewell.
They bring it out to him.
One of our honored veterans.
Snap it a couple quick photos. And there's the pitch.
Give him a big round of applause, folks. David Jewell.
Alrighty, and now it looks like we should be getting underway. On the mound for the Colt 45 tonight, we've got
David Jewell another Korsman round of applause
out of Albuquerque, California.
Thank you, Dave.
This is, as we said before, the season opener, so he's hoping to have a good outing tonight for the Colts.
Behind the dish, we've got Mr. Williams, and I'm struggling a little bit because I don't have the first names on my roster, to be quite frank.
It's going to be
Ethan Williams
behind
you.
The plate tonight for the Colts. And with that, we are going to begin warm-ups. And this will be the start to the season. All right. So we'll go ahead and read off the lineup we've got here for you. Like we said, pitching tonight for the Colt 45s is Isaac Horseman. Behind the plate, we've got Ethan Williams. At first base, we have Nate Scott, number 29. At second base, we have, we're working on it, Isaiah Cortez. We're trying to compare first and last names here right now. Over at third base, we have Wyatt Larinaga, and at shortstop, we have
Hector Camacho.
All right. Out in the outfield, left field, we have Blake Tweet, not to be confused with, I assume, is his brother, Bryce Tweet, in center field. And in right, we've got Kyle Norton. Sorry about that. A little bit of a mix-up, but we're still trying to figure out which names go with which names.
Your lineup card for your visiting Santa Rosa Rosebuds will announce when they come up. So looking forward to that in a few minutes.
Number two, Drew Silvery.
All right, and here comes the first batter of the Colt 45's opening day. It's going to be Drew Silvery, number two. He is playing center field tonight for the Rosebuds. And as he steps in the box, the umpire gives the go-ahead to the pitcher. And he's going to go ahead and step up onto the rubber. Horseman with the pitch. And that is a strike. Took that one looking. Back to the pitcher. Horseman winds up. The pitch. Strike two. Looks at it again. That one caught the outside corner. Steps in. This might be a quick at-bat for Horseman. We hope so. As he winds up. And the pitch. That ball is lifted out into center field. Coming in on it. Center fielder makes the catch. That is Bryce Tweet. Again, not
caught by center field.
His brother, Blake Tweet.
Bryce
in left
Tweet.
That was a nice catch. Had to come in on it.
Brian
Meyer. Caught a run. And that marks the first out of the season for the Colt 45s.
You can tell why they've got Tweet out there. He's got some speed.
And batter number two, we have Brian Meyer, who hits a grounder to third base, picks up. Oh, and it's past the first baseman. Meyer is on the way to second. And they threw him out. Absolutely stellar play by the catcher, Williams. He was able to back up
that overthrow at first base, and he catches him trying to get to second.
Andrew.
So that'll be two outs, and they recover from the error. And now we've got Andrew Rubalcaba coming up to the plate. He's a lefty as he steps in, and Holzman winds up with the pitch. And that's a called strike up on the outside corner. Right back. Horseman looking in, winds up. Pitch. And that ball's in the dirt, but it draws a swing and a miss from Rubalcaba. So that'll make it an 0-2 count with two outs. Let's see if Horseman can get a quick inning here. In the pitch. Did he go? Doesn't look like it.
On appeal, third base says no.
All right, that'll make it a 1-2 count here for Horseman. And he's keeping a pretty good tempo so far. He's making sure he gets that ball out quick as soon as he gets it back. So here comes the pitch. And that ball is going to be in the dirt. That'll make it a 2-2 count as the ball gets back to Horseman. All right.
Fielder's playing straight away out in the outfield.
Here comes the pitch. And that's going to be a tapped grounder to the second baseman. Fields it easily. And that's going to be the third out of the inning. All righty, folks. Remember, it's opening day baseball for the Reading Colt 45s. And this game is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, proud to sponsor the Reading Colt 45's Open Day Baseball, and honored to be ranked as a 50 top cardiovascular hospital by IBM Watson Health. And with that, we are going to head to break.
Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center in Anderson, featuring antique lamps and lighting, desks and dressers, linens and love seats, and more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center in Anderson. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 6. Sunday, noon to 5. Closed on Tuesdays. Call 530-365-1399. That's 530-365-1399.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to the bottom of the first inning of Colt 45's opening day. The Rosebuds are out on the field, warming up now. On the mound, we've got number 21, Cole Hamilton, pitching to Casey Longenker behind the plate. As he finishes up those warm-ups, it's looking like we're going to be led off by Camacho for the Colt 45s. And until then, we're just going to be here watching the warm-ups. This, to be honest, seems a little longer than a typical warm-up inning, but it is their first.
Well, they did have a 45-minute rain delay, so pitchers probably got warmed up. And then
up to bat first, shortstop, number 12, Aaron Camacho.
All righty. So we've got Aaron Camacho coming up to bat for the Colt 45s, and this will be the first batter of the 2022 season for the Colt 45s. Hopefully they can make something of this at bat, maybe get a runner on. That's what they're sure hoping to do. All righty. Hamilton steps up onto the rubber, looks down at his catcher.
He's got a unique
step up
presence there on the mound. I don't know if that's going to be his normal approach every pitch.
Whoa! And there's a drive into the left field gap. That's going to go to the wall. Here we go. Camacho's heading for second, and he's going to make it standing up as the ball comes in. That is a leadoff stand-up double for Eric Camacho. And the Colt 45s have done something with their first at-bat of the season.
Bryce Tweed.
That is what we like to see.
He jumped on that right away. It seemed like he really knew what was coming to that pitch.
Absolutely. You can tell that man has seen a lot of the pitches, but he just wanted one to start the season off, and he got it. That was a nice long fly ball, and with that, Bryce Tweet is going to come in, maybe drive a run in. He steps up.
And he looks really relaxed.
That's going to be a ball just a little above the zone. All right. And here we have Hamilton pitching from the stretch now. Seems to be a little less comfortable, maybe even a little shaken up after giving off that leadoff double, but nonetheless, here's the pitch. And he hits him. So Tweet will take a free base to first. Well, like we said, that leadoff double might have
now batting,
shaken Hamilton up a little
first
bit.
First base, number 29, Nate Scott.
He toes that rubber a little tough. So here comes Nate Scott, number 29, playing first base for the Colts. And he'll see what he can do with the bat as he steps in. Hamilton looks down, gets the sign. Comes set. Checks back the runner at second. And the pitch. That's a curveball right in the zone for a strike one. That'll make it a 0-1 count. Scott didn't like that pitch. To be fair, it's a first pitch curveball. I'm not sure I would swing at one either. Here's Hamilton. The pitch. And that's going to be a fastball. And he got him swinging. I don't know. Perhaps Scott was looking for another off speed, but you know, it looks like a little bit of confidence is returning to Hamilton as he jumps out with no 2 count. He comes set. Here's the pitch. And that's going to be a ball just a little low. Scott took a step towards it like he might swing, but he held off pretty well. That'll make it a 1-2 count. Runners on first and second still. Scott's trying to maybe get an RBI here. Hamilton gets set. And the pitch. And that's going to be a shallow fly ball in foul territory. Third baseman for the Rosebuds has it. And that'll be the first out of the inning.
Now batting right field, number 25, Kyle Norton.
They've got another chance here. Kyle Norton playing right field for the Colts comes up to bat. Hitting in the four hole. We'll see if he can drive in a couple of runs. At least one maybe.
Well, now with one out, do you think they're going to be sending the runners?
No, I don't think so, to be completely honest. I don't think I would risk getting caught stealing at third. But here's a pitch, and they do.
Oh, and the catcher has trouble getting down. He's safe at third.
Absolutely. Well, you were right about that, Ken. They did send him. And there we go. We now have runners on second and third. Catcher kind of stumbled as he tried to step out of the box to make that throw. Looked like he just couldn't get it off in time. It was accurate, but just a little bit late. You know, Camacho got a good jump.
So now we got a sack fly situation.
That was a ball, by the way, folks, so that count is going to be 1-0. And that ball's going to be low, almost in the dirt. Make it a 2-0 count to Norton. Now, that's kind of a rough go for the Rosebuds. They no longer have a force out, and they've only got one out on the inning. So anything in the air to the outfield could potentially result in the run.
Ooh.
As Norton fouls one back into the parking lot. Hopefully that missed. Oh.
Don't worry, folks.
That's just Mike Mingus' car.
All righty. Hopefully that missed the car, but we won't know. As Hamilton comes set, delivers the pitch. And fouls one back. This time back into the park over there. Luckily, that one's
right. Now they got Jake's car.
Despite the sound that you hear in the background, we don't think that got anything.
Hamilton doesn't like the ball he got, so he's going to trade it in to the umpire for a new one.
That's the fun thing about these hometown crowds and the games here. They play with the sound effects a little bit and have a little fun.
All right, so we're looking at a 2-2 count to Norton now. As Hamilton is taking his time getting this sign. This is bit of a touchy situation for the Rosebuds. They're trying to get out without letting anyone score. And that's a ground ball down the line. That's a fair ball. Norton heading to second. Camacho will come in. Tweet will come in. And Norton heads to second, standing up. That is a two-run double for your Colt 45s. And that is exactly what they wanted to happen. That was a great hit just right down the first baseline. I think it
now
hit the line on the way down.
Catcher number 21, Ethan Williams.
That one bounced right over the bag and went clear to, almost to the wall. Really no chance for them to get that, as that was an easy stand-up double.
All right, Ethan Williams, the catcher, now coming up to bat. And the pitch from Hamilton. And that ball is going to be lifted in the air to right field. Coming in on the play is going to be the Rosebuds right fielder, James Potts, and he's going to make the catch and send it back into the infield. All right. Now we've got two outs.
Now batting for your Colt 45s. Left field, number seven.
Left fielder, number
Blake
seven.
Blake
Tweet. He's coming up to bat. Hoping he can maybe send in one more run for the Colts right here. Again, two outs as Hamilton stares down for his sign. Come set. Here's the pitch. And that's a ground ball. Second baseman's got it. Sends it over to first, and that'll be the third out of the inning. All righty. Shasta Regional Medical Center is proud to sponsor the Red Bull 45 Opening Day Baseball. Shasta Regional Medical Center is honored to be ranked as the 50 top cardiovascular roster by IBM
and Boston.
In addition, they
earn
an award of excellence from Health Grades for patient safety. Shasta Regional Medical Center is the only hospital in the area to be awarded the grade A of all the hospitals in the North State.
They specialize
nationally recognized, accredited, and joint commission, offering a diverse range of medical services. Shasta Regional Medical Center at 1100
proud supporter of our community.
Welcome, O2 Step.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlu's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlu's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlu's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlu's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to the Colt 45s, top of the second inning, brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Now, we still have Horseman up on the mound, and he's going to deliver the pitch right away. That's going to be a first pitch strike to Jared Dumont. Gets the ball back, comes set, and here's the pitch. That looked to be a changeup. Either way, it's going to be high and outside. That'll make it a 1-1 count to Dumont. The pitch. That's going to be a little low. So, Horseman now, 2-1 count to Dumont. You know, this is kind of a situation where Horseman wants to go quick, but it looks like his catcher might be trying to slow him down a little bit. Here comes the pitch, and it's going to be a low again. So, like I said earlier, that fast pace was working for him in the first inning, but he's now down 3-1 to Dumont. So he takes a deep breath up on the mound. Here's the delivery. That's going to be low again. So that'll be ball four to Dumont.
Now batting he heads number 44, to first base. Casey Longacre.
First one had a quick inning the first, but this one's starting off with a little bit rough.
Absolutely. So now we've got Casey Longacre coming up. That's the catcher for the Rosebuds, and he's going to be trying to do some damage right now, catch up to the Colts with their 2-0 lead. Horseman now, this will be the first time we see him in the stretch, and he comes set. Here's the delivery, and that's going to be low again. So that's his fourth straight pitch that's going to be below the strike zone, making it a 1-0 count, Longacre. Dumont takes the lead at first. Here's the pitch. And that one's going to hit the strike zone. Nice little fastball he squeezed in there. That'll make it a 1-1 count. As Horseman looks down, comes set. Here's the pitch. And that ball's going to be lifted into shallow right center. And then we have got the right fielder Martin coming in to make the catch. He's going to send it back in. Dumont stays at first.
Unproductive out for the Rosebuds.
Absolutely. That ball wasn't hit with too much power. So that's an unfortunate case for Longacre, who was trying to move the runner over. Couldn't get it done. Now we've got one out. Schwartzman delivers. That ball is driven, but it's going to be pulled foul down the right field line by James Potts. As Horseman goes back to the mound. Comes set. Here's the pitch. And not quite going to hit that outside corner, so that'll make it a 1-1 count. One out as well. Hot staring down Horseman. Here comes the pitch. And that ball is going to be in the dirt and past the catcher. And Dumont is going to head over to second. So I don't know, Ken. I don't know if you would call that a wild pitch or a pass ball. I'm thinking more wild pitch.
I would be highly surprised if the official score didn't put that down as a wild pitch. That one was on Horseman for sure.
So you believe it would be called a wild pitch?
I believe,
correct?
It would be a wild pitch, yeah.
Absolutely.
I don't think your catcher could have in any safe way gotten that ball.
Yeah, I don't think Williams had much of a chance there.
Horseman's delivery has been a little quick, but the last few pitches, he started to slow it down a little bit.
Absolutely, and he's going to come set now. Checks back Dumont at second base in the pitch. That ball is going to be fouled off up and over the left field fence. All right. That'll make it a 2-2 count as Dumont takes a lead off of second and Horseman gets his sign.
He doesn't seem really serious about that lead, not at all. So I don't think Horseman really needs to worry about him at all.
No, he checked him back once. Let's see if he'll even take a look here. He does. And that ball is going to be hit faintly up behind third base. All right, and that's going to be caught by Larinaga, who tosses it back to Horseman. That'll make it two outs.
Now batting number five,
still standing on second.
Lawrence.
As Iggy Lawrence comes up to bat for the Rosebuds. Horseman is going to take his sign.
Lawrence hitting in the seven hole. They're hoping to get out of this inning without letting it turn over.
Come set. Again, Dumont not taking too big of a lead off second. That's going to be an off-speed. Looked like a curveball, but it's going to miss the zone outside a little bit as Horseman gets that ball back. It's going to be a 1-0 count. Come set. Here's the pitch. And that's going to be fouled off into the parking lot. I didn't hear anything, but here come those sound effects. So you never know what that ball could find.
Colt 45 put on a great show here. No matter what kind of fan you are, just a novice or an expert.
Here's the pitch, and that's going to be strike two, swing and a miss from Lawrence. That'll make it a 1-2 count.
He's a big boy. That was a big swing.
Yeah, it was. He looked like he was sending that one for the fences, but alas, swing and a miss there. So Horseman looking to end the inning right here. Here's the pitch. And that ball is driven out into center field. And Dumont is going to round, and he's heading for home. Oh, and the throw from center field was quite a ways off. Dumont will score easily, and Lawrence trots in to second base. That'll
now
make it a 2-1 ball game.
Number four,
an online throw. I think
Dylan, De La Montoya.
Dumont wasn't real fast coming around third, and that ball looked like he'd have a chance, but it was way offline.
It looked like he was potentially trying to hit a cutoff man and just missed. Had he gone straight for home, he might have been able to get him. Anyways, we now have De La Montoya coming up to the bat, and he's going to watch one low. That'll be ball one. Dylan De La Montoya, DH in a day for the Rosebuds. He's looking to maybe tie this game up with Lawrence at second. And that ball's going to be in the dirt for ball two.
So the Colts have a shift on. They've got the shortstop playing just to the right field side of second base, with the second baseman playing deep in the hole in the right, just at the edge of the right field grass.
Yeah, they really have that second to third base gap wide open. Still, they've got their third base in normal position as De La Montoya swings and misses. That'll make it a 2-1 count. But they are really not expecting him to send it up that left field side. If he does, they're hoping it'll go up the line.
Yeah, if it hits left field, that would easily score the runner from second.
And he's going to foul that ball off. That'll make it a 2-2 count with two outs and a runner on second.
It's almost identical situation as there was in the last hit.
All right, Horseman's going to look down, get a sign. He's hoping to end this inning right here. He gets set. And the pitch. That's going to be a curveball down the line. Foul ball fielded by the Colts first baseman.
He took a ton off of that, and the hitter was definitely early.
Absolutely. He was way out in front of that ball. Pulled it to the left side a little bit. Right on top of it, too. Gentle bouncer. It'll remain a 2-2 count as De La Montoya steps in. Boy, that's a nice baseball name. That's fun to say. Here's the pitch. And that ball's going to be in the dirt. Nice block by Williams there. But that'll make it a full count now. So we've got 3-2, two outs. A little bit of pressure now on Horseman to give a good pitch. He comes set, now delivers. And strikes him out with a high fastball. Swing and a miss from De La Montoya, and that'll end the inning. So remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, proud to sponsor the Reading Colt 45's opening day. And with that, we are
on the
going
Green
to break.
Buzzard series kicks off.
Repertory Theater presents live on stage Mel Brooks' madcap comedy, Young Frankenstein.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
Young Frankenstein, May 6th through the 29th. Tickets at the box office on Bocelli Lane or online at axraptheater.com.
When you think of May, think Mako. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Mako offers a variety of services including collision repair, a full new paint job, and they can touch up scrapes and scratches. So when you think of May, think Mako at 3045 Crossroads Drive. Make an appointment today for a free estimate. They also offer a military discount. Call 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992. Or stop by Mako today.
This is Carl Bott. Join Linda and me Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're going to discuss what's happening in our city, county, state, and nation. Join in. Miss a day, miss a lot. Free Fire Radio, Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 a.m.
Derek Ray.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to Colt 45's opening day baseball, presented to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. For the Colts coming up to bat, we've got Derek Ray, number 24, the designated hitter for the Colts, as he steps in. Pitching now for the Rosebuds looks to be the same pitcher, Cole Hamilton. He toes that rubber and bends down. That is a unique step up to the rubber. He's going to deliver the pitch now. That's going to hit the middle, and, you know, it looked like Ray wanted it, but he watches it go by. That's going to bring the count to 0-1. Here comes the next pitch. That's going to be an off-speed. Again, catches the strike zone, so that'll make it a quick 0-2 count to Ray. And here comes the next pitch. That ball is going to miss high, so that'll be a 1-2 count to Ray. Thankfully not striking out on three straight pitches, and he's going to try to battle here now. Here comes the pitch. That ball is lined past the second baseman's glove. I think that'll be ruled a base hit. That was a tough one.
Third baseman,
that ball
number
was
one, Wyatt.
Hammered to the second baseman.
Larinaga.
I think the second baseman, I think that one got him by
some. Larinaga. Thank you, sir.
That was a rocket to right field. He just threw his glove up there, but had no chance of really getting in front of it.
Absolutely. You know, I might even be scared of that ball if it was coming towards me.
That one has some exit velocity. Too bad
absolutely.
We don't have StatCast.
Yeah, if we had StatCast, I'd be assuming that ball was in the 90s off the bat. Anyways, we've got Larinaga, who hit the shot down the third baseline into left field. That'll be a base hit. Sends Ray over to second. We now have runners on first
base.
And second for the Colts.
Number 10, Isaiah Cortez.
And the Colts are off to a hot start in the bottom of the second. Looking to put a few more runs up on the board. Cortez now coming up to bat. Here's a lefty poking something into right field. Right fielder for the Rosebuds is playing deep.
Pitcher wants a new ball.
This is the second time that Hamilton has exchanged balls.
Well, you get two quick base hits, I'd want a new ball, too.
Yeah, you know, it's always the ball's fault, right? All righty. Here we go. And Hamilton is catching his sign. Comes set. Here's the pitch. That's going to be a strike on that inside corner. So Cortez watches the first one go by, says he doesn't want it.
Hamilton's got good velocity.
He does, but the Colts have done a great job of catching up to it quick. And here comes the pitch. That ball's going to be bounced out into, yeah, that ball flies out and gets down in left field. No one's going to score. The runners froze. They thought it might be caught. But that'll create a bases loaded situation for the Colts. And no out.
So number 12.
Hamilton now is really feeling the pressure. Let's see how he deals with it. We saw what happened to him when the Colts got to him early last inning. We'll see if that happens again. All right.
Camacho looking to do some damage here.
Yeah, he had that early double. Let's see if he can do something again. All right. And Hamilton says he doesn't want to send him a fastball, so he gets an off-speed first pitch. That's going to fall into the strike zone, creating an 0-1 count for Camacho. Hamilton sets up.
Infield playing double play depth.
Oh, and Camacho swings at a high pitch. Didn't really look to be anywhere near the zone, but, you know, he's looking like he really wants something. Bases loaded. With that last double he hit in the first inning, we're wondering if he can maybe do some real damage, and Hamilton doesn't want that at all. So here comes the pitch. And that's going to be strike three. To Camacho, he swung at a ball in the dirt as he walks back.
Now
obviously,
Danny, center field,
that
number 20,
bat.
Bryce
he's
Tweet.
Really hoping to bring some runners home. Bryce Tweet now coming up to bat. Hopefully, he'll be able to send a couple of runners home.
Just only one out. He's looking to get a ball in the air. I mean, he just wants to just anything will play to run here.
Absolutely, anything out into the outfield should bring in at least one run for the Colts. Outfielders are playing deep as well. And that ball's going to get it done into the left field gap. That ball is gone.
A grand slam for Bryce Sweet as he rounds the bases. This crowd is fired up now.
They are on their feet. Bryce Sweet with a big, big impact. Grand slam home run.
Bryce Sweet, bro. Red Bull High.
By a wall of his teammates. Top of helmets.
That was no weak shot either, folks. Remember, Bryce Sweet is a left-hander, and he sent that opposite field into the left field gap, and that cleared the wall by a long time.
That's 320 feet to the left field line, 406 straightaway center. And I was
number 29, Nate Scott.
Easy, 380, maybe 400 feet.
Absolutely. All right. So, Scott coming up for the second time tonight, and Hamilton clearly a little shaken up. Delivers, and that ball is going to be bounced foul behind the plate, creating an 0-1 count. Hamilton now has the bases cleared, but the score is 6-1 in the second inning. Not at all what the Rosebuds want. Here comes the pitch. That ball is not going to catch the outside corner. That'll make it a 1-1 count with one out. Well, now, if you're Hamilton, you just got to be thinking, I want to get out of this inning.
Well, and he's working now from the windup.
And that's going to be a swing and a miss from Scott, making it a 1-2 count.
And he's working fast.
Yeah, he is. You can tell Hamilton started pretty slow, but he's been speeding up now. It really just seems like he wants to get out of this inning, and that's going to be strike three called to Scott, and he walks back to the dugout.
Now batting,
Hamilton
got to
be thankful
field,
for that
25,
one.
25, Kyle Norton.
He needed that strikeout. They keep going, keep that line moving, and the Rosebuds were going to be in, and they're already in big trouble, but that was going to make it a lot worse.
Absolutely. Hamilton now is just trying to get back on his feet. Hopefully that strikeout will help him a little bit with his confidence. He throws a fastball. That's going to be inside for ball one.
He's sort of ended that unique kind of crouch-down delivery where he sets up kind of on his knees and then stands up. Now he looks to be quick pitching the Colts.
Yeah, like I said earlier, it kind of just seems like he is a little bit desperate to get out of this inning. He is really just pitching for speed at this point, maybe hoping to get a ball onto a bat and then onto the ground. And that's going to be a swing and a miss as we have a 2-1 count.
So this is the heart of the order for the Colts. You've got the number five hitter on deck, Williams, the catcher.
As Norton fouls one off on the plate, that'll make it a 2-2 count.
So if Norton can reach here.
If Norton can reach, it'll definitely be a dangerous situation.
With your five hole coming up next, that would be really favorable for the Colts.
Here's the pitch. And that's going to be low and away. We'll miss the strike zone and make it a full count. Two outs.
And Williams bare hands it from the catcher coming back to him.
And here's the pitch. That's going to be strike three called. That was a nice curveball. He snuck right into that outside corner. And with that, the Rosebuds will head back to the dugout after giving up four runs off the Bryce Sweet Grand Slam. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, proud to sponsor the Reading Colt 45's opening day baseball. And with that, we will head off to break.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to Colt 45's Baseball, brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. The Colt 45s just now came out onto the field to start their warm-ups. It looks as if we still have that Horseman. Yeah, he's still going to be on the mound.
Horseman had a little bit of a longer inning last inning. He got out of the first with about 12 pitches. Last inning, by my estimate, I would say he was at about 20. And so he's probably in the mid-30s right now and probably good for a little another inning or two.
Absolutely. He's been doing well so far. He's given up one run through two innings. And hopefully, for him, not going to give up too many more.
Now,
as Williams
number three,
sets the
Robert.
Ball down to second base.
Moody.
And the ball's going to come back around, make its way to Horseman. And now for the Rosebuds coming up, we have got number three, Robert Muniz, playing second base.
What's going to make it a little bit tough this inning, the umpire's out there trying to clean your home plate. That rain kind of put some mud on top of it. It doesn't look like even a brush would take that off at this point. So hopefully we get a few calls going our way.
Absolutely. And here's the pitch from Horseman. And that's going to be a bunt. Back to Horseman. He's going to field it and line it straight to first base for the first out of the inning.
Number two.
Now, obviously, they were trying to get something on the ground to take the Colts by surprise. Unfortunately, that bunt was not executed the way it was supposed to be. I'm assuming that was trying to go down the third baseline as the third baseman for the Colts is playing deep. That's Larinaga. Unfortunately, though, it went straight back to the pitcher. Now the first pitch from Horseman is going to be inside for ball one.
Horseman got on top of that ball quickly and made an awesome underhanded flip to first from the third base side. It was an excellent play.
Absolutely. He kind of sidearmed that thing but had some great velo over to first base. Anyways, it'll be a 1-0 count for Horseman. And here comes the pitch. And that's going to be swung on and just foul down the third baseline. That was a hard bouncer. Looked almost like it might be fair, but it just missed the line. Alrighty. So Muniz here is now looking for a base hit. Count's going to be 1-1.
Those dark clouds have moved off to the east. It's turned into a beautiful evening.
Absolutely. And Horseman's going to wind up quick like he does, and he delivers into the dirt, but it's going to be swung on by Muniz and missed. So that'll make it a 1-2 count for Horseman. He is right on top of Muniz, and he's going to pitch to him again. That ball is bounced way out in front of home plate. That will make it a 2-2 count. It looks like the scoreboard might be having some issues there. I believe it's going to be a 2-2 count. As Horseman sets up, again with another quick setup, and, oh, I apologize, it was a 3-2 count, and Muniz is going to head to first base on a walk. So Horseman, not too happy with that
now
result.
Now, Maddie, number six.
He was way ahead in that count. And
Brian Meyer.
And gives up a walk. So it's going to be one out with a runner on first now.
Colts looking to maybe turn a double play here and erase the bases. That'd get them out of the inning.
Absolutely. And here comes Brian Meyer, swings and fouls off a ball to the backstop. Anyways, it'll be an 0-1 count as Horseman sets up from the stretch. He's going to deliver the pitch. And that's going to be in the dirt, but swung on and missed by Meyer. So Meyer now looking at an 0-2 count. Horseman jumps ahead, and he'll be looking to get this over with quick. Hopefully either a strikeout or a double play ball here. All right, here's the pitch. And that ball is swung on and missed, but it gets past Williams. And it looks like Muniz is on his way to second.
Now, batting number 22, Andrew
Rubalcaba.
Well, I believe that still counts as an occupied base, even on the steal. So with that drop third strike, should still be out there. Anyways, I believe that might be called a pass ball. I believe Williams could have gotten to that, but it looks like it just scooted away from him. Now coming up to bat is Rubalcaba, who is going to take a first pitch in the dirt, and that'll make it a 1-0 count as Williams heads out to Horseman, give him a little chat. I think that ball has just been low a few too many times, so Williams goes out there.
Looks like there might have been a little confusion on the sign on that. Horseman didn't seem real confident after the pitch that he had the right signal on that.
Potentially cross him up there, yeah. All right. Well, Muniz takes a pretty short lead of second as Horseman comes set, checks him back, and now delivers. And that ball is going to miss the outside corner, making it a 2-0 count for Horseman.
Once again, the Colts in the shift with the shortstop playing just a little bit to the right of second base, second baseman deep against the grass in right field.
Absolutely. And that's going to be a called first strike on the outside corner to Rubalcaba as Horseman now looks down to take the sign. Muniz getting his lead from second. Looks a little bigger than the last one. Checked back, but here comes the pitch. That's going to be called strike two.
He's hitting his spots.
Absolutely. That just scraped the outside corner. Nice spot there.
Umpire giving him those corners. That's working in Horseman's favor right now.
Absolutely. Now 2-2 and two. And that ball is going to get by Williams in the dirt. And Muniz will head over to third base. So it looks like that ball was just kind of out in the middle of nowhere, making it a 3-2 count. So now really what you have is a situation where it'll either be a walk, a base hit, or the end of the inning.
The Rosebuds really looking to put something in play and out of the infield to try and plate that run.
And that ball is driven, but it's going to be way foul for the Rosebuds.
With the sound of shattering glass.
No worries, folks. That's just Tony Hort's car.
All right. So still a full count now as Horseman gets set, checks the runner at third, and delivers. That ball's going to be low, and Horseman is unhappy with that pitch.
That was a good pitch, but it just wasn't quite in the strike zone.
Yeah, it looked to be a little too low, and he knows it.
Now, Batty,
Williams
10.
Looks like he's going to take another trip out of the mound.
You might.
This is a tough situation for the Colts. First and third is never where you want to be. You know, we'll see if the Rosebuds try to run a little bit of trickery here, but that could always be risky with two outs. Now for the Rosebuds coming up, we've got Jared Dumont. And Horseman's going to look down and take his sign. Still upset with that last at-bat. Here comes the pitch. That ball's going to be high, but swung on and missed by Dumont.
Horseman took him way up high, and he chased.
Yeah.
Like Horseman knew what he wanted.
He absolutely did. Dumont really wants to get the bat on the ball, you can tell. Here comes the pitch. That's going to be an off-speed. Again, Dumont wanted that pitch way more than he should have. And he's way out in front and just taps it. Foul.
He is definitely swinging the bat these first two pitches.
He is hungry, and Horseman looks to be using that to his advantage. He knows it, and he is just playing the smart game. Here comes another off-speed pitch. Dumont lays off that time. Looks like he's been able to calm himself down.
Dumont, big. He's a big man. He looks like he's probably 6'2", 6'3", maybe 220, 230 pounds. He could do some damage with the bat.
And here's the pitch. That's going to be outside, misses the outside corner, making it another 2-2 count for Horseman. Now this at-bat looking eerily similar to the last. Hopefully not the same result for Horseman, though, as he delivers the pitch. And that ball is going to be spiked in the dirt. Did it hit?
It looked like it got him in the foot.
But I believe it bounced first. So he's going to – I think he's going to stay in. Umpire takes a step out, clears off the plate.
Dumont's staying at the plate, so he either doesn't want to walk or he wants to hit. And the umpire seems to be agreeing that the ball didn't hit him. I sure thought it did. I thought I even heard it.
Well. Either way, it's going to be a full count now for Horseman as he delivers the pitch. That's going to be ball four. Well.
So now with two outs, they've loaded the bases.
That's going to be two consecutive walks. And we're going to see a mound visit now.
Number 44, Casey Longacre.
Coming up is the number 5 spot for the Rosebuds, Casey Longacre.
JC. Good job, JC.
All right.
Jace.
They're having a nice long conversation over there at the mound. And
they're trying to let their reliever get a few more pitches in, or they're trying to decide whether to let Horseman stay on the mound. Looks like they're going to leave Horseman in.
Yeah, Coach Baskin doesn't want to take him out quite yet, it looks like. So Horseman will stay in. I'm sure he wants to get out of this inning right now. He wants to finish it because, you know, if they take him out now, he's not really in control of what happens to his ERA. That's never a great spot for a pitcher. So he's going to look down now, take his sign and pitches, and that's going to be, again, low, missing the strike zone. And that'll be a 1-0 count to Longacre. Horseman takes his sign, delivers. That ball is popped up. Looks like going to be behind second base, first base. All right. And it's caught. Well, it's caught.
He did a good job getting under that one with this night air. The breezes died down. He played that pretty true.
Once again,
and
folks,
that second baseman, Cortez.
Tonight's third base so, club VIP pavilion, O2 staffing.
Absolutely.
We have O2 Employment Services, the North State's largest employment and HR company.
6-1 still at the end of the inning. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical
Center. Business for more than 20 years.
Break.
Sorry, they specialize in staffing, recruiting, HR, payroll, workman's comp, and benefits.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns. And they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260. Or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
And we're back.
All righty, folks. Cole Hamilton comes back onto the mound for his third consecutive inning. Had a rough one last inning, gave up a grand slam.
Now batting for your 45, catcher number 21, Ethan Williams.
You probably heard there, Ethan Williams, catcher for the Colt 45s, is going to come up to bat. And he is hitting in the five spot. Let's see if he can do a little bit of damage. And it's going to be interesting to see how Hamilton comes back from that rough last inning. As he toes the rubber, he's going to get the sign and deliver. Here's the pitch. That's a curveball, but it's going to miss the strike zone just by a bit. That'll make it a 1-0 count to Williams.
Well, it's nice to see the Colts crowd out here for the first time in almost 2 years.
That ball is going to miss inside, making it a 2-0 count.
It's nice to have a baseball back in Reading at Historic Tiger Field. Smell of barbecue smoke in the background.
And it looks like that ball skimmed Williams.
Now batting.
Appears to be a hit by the pitch, and he's going to take
first base. Blake Tweet.
So Blake Tweet is going to come up to bat and does not look like Hamilton is recovering very well from that last inning, unfortunately for him. Here, he is going to take the sign, get set, checks the runner back. The pitch, Williams with a nice secondary lead. That ball is going to miss the strike zone. Sorry, it's going to hit the strike zone. That's going to be an 0-1 count to Tweet. Hamilton stares down, gets a sign. And he's going to toss an Ephus over to the first base.
That was one of the weakest pickoff moves I've ever seen.
And just for good measure, throws it right back when he gets it. So that's and he's throwing it back to first base. He's really trying to get Williams, because Williams is just, he's really in his head, it looks like. Hamilton just threw over three consecutive times right after getting the ball back, and his fourth consecutive time almost overthrows his first baseman there. He wants Williams right now, and he is out for blood. I mean, wow. Four consecutive pickoff moves, but it looks like he's going to deliver to home plate, and here's the pitch. That's going to be an off speed, but it's going to hit the strike zone, making it an 0-2 count to Tweet.
I've never seen that in 50 years, 52 years. I've never seen somebody throw over the first three consecutive times like that. Quick delivery each time.
Yeah, I mean, when the first baseman threw it back, it was right out of the glove and back in the first baseman. And that's going to be a nice base hit out in the left field for Tweet. And Williams will
now batting,
stay there.
Designated hitter number 24, Garrett Ray.
Absolutely.
Lose the runner, and now the Colts have two.
That is what you would call a textbook base hit right there. Just finds that gap and does a job for the Colt 45s. So now we've got Ray coming up to bat.
Ray, a bit of a fan favorite. People going nuts in the crowd here.
Absolutely. Starts him off with an off-speed curveball strike. Falls right into the strike zone there. It'll be an 0-1 count to Ray. Hamilton still looking for his first out of the inning. Looks to be a little bit shaken up, perhaps, from that grand slam in the second as he now delivers. And that's going to be another off-speed, but a swing and a miss from Ray. He was just not ready for something that moved, it looked like. So
he was
takes,
way out in front of
yeah, he was. So he's going to take a walk, and now he's going to come settle back into the box. It's Hamilton throws, and that's going to be swung on and missed for strike three. Ball wasn't even close to the strike
now
zone.
Now batting, third baseman, number one, Wyatt, Mr. Bat Breaker Larinaga.
Protecting with two strikes, but regardless, not a huge quality swing, and that's going to put one out on the board for Hamilton now as he looks down and gets a sign.
So, again, this could be a situation where the Colts are looking to add on, put runners maybe a second and third.
Here's
they don't go.
And another first pitch off speed falls right into the strike zone for Hamilton. That pitch seems to be working for him pretty well. Much better than the fastball, gotta say. That'll make it an 0-1 count. And that ball's gonna be fouled off into the parking lot. Larinaga. Now down to 0-2 in this count. Hamilton might be making a slow recovery from his last inning. Remember, we've got runners on first and second. Neither one being held on real tight. But neither one taking a huge lead off either. Oh, and the catcher is going to overthrow Hamilton. Picked up, and ball is returned to him. All right. Well, once again, runners on first and second, neither one being held on too tight, but not taking any sort of risky lead here. They're still playing it safe as Hamilton gets his sign. It's a 1-2 count. And here is the pitch. That's going to be high for ball two, making it a 2-2 count to Larinaga. As Hamilton looks down and takes his sign once more, he's going to set back up, and here's the pitch. That ball's going to be outside for ball three. Now a count in which Hamilton was way ahead is now tied 3-2.
Runners will be going on this pitch, which could mean trouble for the Santa Rosa Roosevelts.
Well, remember, we've only got one out, so the runners are going to stay. And there's going to be a nice curveball in the dirt, swung on and missed for strike three.
making second it base, two outs number 10, Colt 45s.
Isaiah Cortez. Keeps me honest here. This is great.
All righty. So here comes Cortez up to bat, and Hamilton is delivering. And that ball, that was a nice big boy swing, but the ball just foul tips and dribbles away.
Got the umpire. He's taking a little break. The catcher's checking on him. The pitcher's giving him a minute to kind of recover, taking a little walk.
I didn't even notice that.
He's asking the field umpire to check the ball.
Hamilton tonight just does not seem to be.
He's not comfortable out there. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah, no, he is, and you know he's not having a good time with the balls that they're giving him. Again, runners on first and second. Here's the pitch. That ball is going to be past the catcher. That's going to be a wild pitch for sure as the runners advance now to second and third. You know, the catcher, Longacre, really had no shot at that one. I mean, that ball was in the dirt way inside. There was not much shot of blocking that pitch. That'll make it a 1-1 count for Cortez as Hamilton is now pitching out of the windup, and he's going to deliver a curveball that will not quite strike the strike zone. So that'll make it a 2-1 count now to Cortez. Again, two outs, runners on second and third. And here's the pitch. And a swing and a miss from Cortez. That'll make it 2-2 with two outs for the Colts. Now the pressure is on for Cortez. He's got two runners in scoring position, two strikes and two outs. So he's got to get something into a gap here if he wants to do any damage. And that'll be swung on and missed for strike three, but it's in the dirt. So Longacre tosses it over to first, and that is going to be the third out of the inning. All right, folks.
All right,
Hamilton
folks,
holds them off.
Want to take this time?
Remember,
Lauren
folks,
Spitzer.
This, presented to you by Shasta.
Happy
Medical
birthday,
Center,
Lauren.
As we head off to break.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
Hey, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. Time has come for 51 in Jefferson State of Mind.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to opening day for the Colt 45s, brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. The score here in the top of the fourth inning is going to be 6-1 with your Colt 45s in the lead. Remember, back in the second inning, Bryce Tweet had that phenomenal grand slam. And it looks like we've got a new pitcher in here for the Colts. I am struggling to see that number. Either way, that's definitely not Horseman out there.
Horseman had a rough outing last inning, so his pitch count was getting up there. We're going into the fourth.
Regardless, Horseman pitched a relatively solid game for the Colts, giving up only one run in three innings. And Williams will send that ball down to second.
Now pitching for the ready Colt.
All right.
45s.
So it looks like
number
the Colts,
eight.
It's going to be
number eight.
We got that much.
Number eight.
It's Jalen Hurts.
Aiden Jeffries. And now batting. Number 20.
Aiden Jeffries. All right.
Pop.
Talk about that confusion, folks. Jeffries, a righty, is going to come in for the first time, relieving Horseman, like we said. But already there seems to be some confusion because before the first pitch, Williams is going to go have a conversation with him. They're exchanging some words, maybe some confusion over signs as Williams heads back behind the plate.
Season opener, summer baseball, they're still getting it figured out.
Absolutely. All righty. So, Jeffries now on the mound. Quick pitcher. Again, similar to Horseman. The delivery is quick on both of them. And that'll make it a 1-0 count. Here's the pitch. High. That'll make ball two. All righty. As Jeffries gets set, winds up, and the pitch. That one will hit the strike zone. First strike of the night for Aiden Jeffries, making it a 2-1 count with no outs. And he is going to take the sign, delivers. Almost the exact same spot. That'll be 2-2 now. For Jeffries, so he's hoping to end this at bat right here. Get his first out of the night. Takes the sign. Here's the pitch. Swing on and missed. That was a nice off-speed pitch by Jeffries, and the ball goes around the
hole. Now batting number 5, Iggy Lawrence.
Jeffries really hit his spot on that one. Kept the ball out of just to the outside of the strike zone. And they were looking for something different. You could tell.
All right, so we've got Iggy Lawrence coming up to bat for the Rosebuds. Does a little shimmy in the batter's box as he's waiting for Jeffries to get set. Jeffries takes the sign, delivers, and check swing, and they're going to say he went around. So that'll make it an 0-1 count with one out for Jeffries. He's got some good velo, like what I see from him so far, and he's hitting his spots well. So here comes the next pitch. Oh, that ball is driven onto left field, but caught by Blake Tweet.
Now batting
almost
number 4, your beer batter, Dylan Dela Montoya.
That'll make two outs for the Colts.
That was the first real contact
struck out,
we've seen from
all
Rose
beer
for
the remaining inning is $4.
Colts pitching has really kept them at bay tonight.
Absolutely, and we'll see if the Rosebuds can follow that up. Maybe put something in the gap and get some of those runs back. Again, it's 6-1 in favor of the Colts at the moment. And here's the pitch. That is going to be ball one to De La Montoya.
The wind picking up here. In fact, so much so, it's starting to take liberties with our lineup cards.
Absolutely. And De La Montoya is going to watch that pitch go by, making it a 2-0 count. Here's the pitch. Ball's going to miss the outside corner. So now Jeffries is down 3-0. Still two outs, and our tarp is flying. Here's the pitch. And four straight balls from Jeffries to De La Montoya.
Now batting number 3, Robert Mooney.
For those of you guys listening here on the radio, what you don't see is the wind did kick up pretty good here. We had tarps flying, papers flying, all sorts of stuff. And meanwhile, ball 4, and that puts a runner on for the Rosebuds.
All righty. So De La Montoya gets his lead at first as Robert Muniz steps into the box. And Jeffries is going to make a pickoff attempt. Not much happens there. De La Montoya slides back easily safe. Jeffries coming set, and there goes one of our lineup cards. The win. Oh, that's a ground ball to the shortstop. And over to first, easy play for the shortstop Camacho, as that will end the inning for the Colts. Again, folks, this game is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, proud sponsor of Colt 45's opening day. With that, we will go to break. Mm-hmm.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Residents of District 5 in Greater Shasta County, this is Dan Gallier, proud City of Anderson resident and business owner. I'm proud to endorse Baron Browning for supervisor and hope you'll join me in voting for stability and solutions for Shasta County. Baron has invested his heart in the City of Anderson, is our current mayor, and has operated several small businesses in District 5. Baron's proven track record and success leading the City of Anderson can be seen across our community. Ag and local small businesses, public safety, and community leaders are squarely behind Baron and know he is the best qualified candidate in this race. Please join me in voting for Baron Browning and let's
get out the vote, Shasta County!
Ad paid for by Shasta Vote, informing voters and electing qualified candidates. Supporting Bridget for district attorney, Johnson for sheriff, Darlene Allen for clerk, Flores for superintendent, Browning and Reznor for supervisor 2022. Committee major funding from Sierra Pacific Industries and Pascenta Band of Nomlaki Indians. Not authorized by a candidate or committee controlled by a candidate.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to Colt 45's baseball. Camacho up to bat, just takes a ball in the dirt. Hamilton still out on the mound for the Rosebuds, and it is going to be a 1-0 count to Camacho as Hamilton winds up and sends a ball down. That looked like a changeup, but it's going to catch the strike zone. That'll make it a 1-1 count for Camacho. Here's the pitch. Another curveball, smoke into left field, and did that get by the left fielder? It did. So Camacho heads to second. He's not going to go for third. He'll stay at second. Unfortunately for the Rosebuds, that ball was smoked out into left, and then it looked like the
now
left fielder
the
just overran
center
it or something,
field,
but it
number
got
20,
left.
Bryce, please.
Giving Camacho the opportunity to go for two. So now the Colts will lead off with a single and an error, putting a runner at second and bringing up Bryce Tweet, who earlier had a grand slam. So Tweet steps in. Hamilton, still in the game, catches a sign. And here is the delivery. That ball's going to be high.
Not even close to the strike zone, and his velocity definitely down here.
Absolutely. So Hamilton takes the sign, gets set, and sends a pitch down. That ball is smoked into center field, and it is not going to get caught by the center fielder who sends it in. Camacho's going for home. And it is dropped by the cutoff man, so there will be no play at home. Camacho scores easily, and Tweet looks to have
tonight,
himself a double.
Jace.
Camacho coming in head first slide.
Now batting first baseman number 29, Nate.
Yeah, that was
Scott.
Unnecessary, but hey, when you can do what he can.
He was charging all the way. He didn't even look for the ball. He didn't want to take any chances. So he comes. Does the Pete Rose slide across home plate, plating another one for the Colt 45s.
All right. And that's going to be a first pitch curveball strike to Scott. And Hamilton is just not having a great game tonight, giving up 7 runs through, three.
He doesn't have an
out yet. So, a big swing and a miss. From Scott, he was looking to get a hold of something there. Either way, it's going to be an 0-2 count with Tweet on second. Now, I don't know if that hit by Tweet was an error. I couldn't tell out in center field whether he had dropped it or whether it had fallen.
Well, I can tell you right now, the way I would have scored that, because of his effort coming in, that wasn't an easy catch, even if he had been able to get a glove on it. I would have given him a hit either way, but, I'm not the official scorer, so.
Absolutely. Scott takes a pitch, and that's going to be strike three on a swing. So Scott heads back to the dugout.
On three straight pitches.
Now batting. Right field, number 25, Kyle Norton.
I'm really not paying attention tonight, am I? But that's why you're here.
Oh, it's all right, old man. That's why you got the experience and then the new brains out here.
Well, the Colts are really trying to pour it on here in the fourth inning.
Absolutely. It's going to be a 7-2 ball game as Norton steps up to the plate. And he's going to foul that first pitch off and back out of the stadium, making it an 0-1 count.
Rosebud's infield playing deep against the grass, just trying to keep runs from coming across.
Yeah, with that number four batter, Norton, they're not taking any chances.
Colts could run here, but I doubt they will with a six-run lead.
All right, that ball's going to be fouled back into the net, making it an 0-2 count to Norton. So Hamilton starts this at-bat off the way he wants, jumping ahead 0-2. Chances are he's not going to give Norton much to swing at here.
He's got the open base, although they seem to be filling those up pretty good tonight.
And here comes the delivery. That ball is going to miss high for the first ball of the at-bat, making it a 1-2 count. All right. Again with one out. Norton steps up. And here's the pitch. And that ball is going to be hit lightly. Fly ball behind third base. And the shortstop is going to try to make a play, but it looks like he dropped it. Coming in on a slide. So there, the shortstop, Iggy Lawrence, ran over behind third base, trying to make a play on that weak pop-up. Sliding, it went into his glove, but came straight out, it looks like.
That was a really tough play. He was trying to get over there, and third baseman was trying to stay out of his way.
Now batting, velocity number coming over. One.
Got his glove up and just slightly opened the ball, and the ball just kind of popped out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely not a mistake or lack of effort on the part of Iggy Lawrence. Either way, however, that'll create runners on first and second for the Colts. And that first pitch is going to miss high to Ethan Williams, the catcher, as Williams steps him once again. Hamilton comes set and delivers, and that signature off-speed curveball falls right into the strike zone. Now, if the Colts can get a hold of that pitch, they can get a hold of it. You know, there's nothing real special about it, but they have just been laying off for most of the night and really just going after his fastball, which has been working for him as they've scored 7 runs. It's now a 2-1 count to Williams. Again, runners on first and second, one out.
Wind kind of coming straight in from center field now. Delivery, and it's fouled off into the parking lot on the right side.
Don't worry, folks. That's just Baron Browning's car.
All right. That'll make it a 2-2 count to Williams as Hamilton gets a sign and delivers. And Williams fouls it off again into the net. Still a 2-2 count. Now, keep in mind, folks, tonight in the Third Base Club VIP Pavilion, we have O2 Employment Services, the North State's largest employment and HR company, as Hamilton strikes Williams out looking on an off-speed pitch. Williams
now batting left field, number 7, Blake Tweed.
Most emphatic way, Williams kind of stood there looking at him for a minute like, really? Was that necessary?
Yeah. Well, a tale as old as time. Batter versus umpire. And Hamilton now has 2 outs. He's going to deliver to Blake Tweet, who fouls that ball back off. Now, as I was saying,
Coach
Employment Services have been taking care of all things employment for local businesses for more than 20 years. They specialize in staffing, recruiting, HR, payroll, workers' comp, and benefits, and they are a proud supporter of our community and the Colt 45s. Well, Hamilton gets set, and he's going to go back to second, but nobody's there because they're not holding him on.
He sort of faked to third, which is empty. I think in the good old days, that used to be a balk.
Well, I think because he made that commitment. Oh, that was not good.
That is the second time tonight I've seen him try to catch a throwback from the catcher with his bare hand.
Hamilton is unhappy
with the
with something.
The baseballs keep coming back from Hamilton. It's like they can't make a good baseball in America anymore.
Well, that was odd. He just threw that baseball, and then it was thrown. You know, he threw that for a ball. Got frustrated, took it back, tried to barehand it when the catcher threw it back to him, missed the barehand catch.
And now he's kind of storming off the mound as though he's a little frustrated with the length of time it's taking to get him a new baseball.
Well,
his patience seems to be wearing thin right now, to say the least.
I guess that might be what happens when you give up seven runs through three innings. Well, he gets the call on that one. That just caught the top of the strike zone, making it a 1-2 count to Tweet.
Maybe a little chip on his shoulder after that.
With two outs here, Tweet is trying to get a couple more runs across for the 45s. And here comes the pitch. That ball is hammered out into left center field, but the center fielder is on it and makes the catch. That was a solid fly ball.
Okay, folks, if the Colt 45
holds
the Rosebuds to zero runs,
coach, this game is brought to you by
in other words, freeze their score, select ice cream products will be $8 off for the rest of the fifth inning.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is La Única Dominican Primeros. Premium shade-grown Connecticut wrappers combined with a long filler blend of aged Cuban seed Dominican tobaccos. Providing a smooth, mellow to medium-bodied experience, it's a rich and balanced selection with subtle hints of nuts, cream, and fruit. La Única Dominican Primeros. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
And we are back.
Welcome back to the Colt 45 season opener. We are in the going into the top of the fifth. The Colts
hold
a 6-1 lead over the Santa Rosa Rosebuds. I'm Ken White. Joined by Austin,
he'll be back in just a minute.
And thanks for joining us. We're having a great evening. First game of the Colt 45 season. After 2 long years with the global pandemic, and
they are your locally owned
45-minute rain delay
to just add insult to injury.
We finally got this game underway, and we're just ready to start the fifth inning. The evening is, other than the rain, what has just been beautiful and perfect. The wind
now
is
now up the bat. Number two, Drew Silvery.
The Colts are showing great poise tonight, putting 7 runs on the board through 4. And we're about ready to get the fifth inning underway. For the Rosebuds, number two, we've got the leadoff man, Drew Silvery, at the plate. Just took a ball. And he puts up a high pop-up into shallow right field. And one down. It's a little cooler tonight.
Now batting, number 6, Brian
Meyer. Energetic, as you might find on a warmer summer evening. So now stepping into the plate is Brian Meyer, the left fielder for the Santa Rosa Rosebuds. He fouls one back, hits the steel post in the back and makes a nice loud sound. Oh, that pitch is high, so quick 1-1 count to Brian Meyer. Pitcher looks in, the throw, and that one misses high and kind of outside. The delivery and a swing and a miss. What looked like a changeup to me. Colts infield playing deep into the grass. We got one down. Count 2-2. The delivery. And that ball in the dirt. And Silveri holds off. Meyer. Meyer holds off. He looks like he really wanted that pitch. He was able to hold back and work the count full. And that ball is high, and Meyer heads down to first base with a free trip.
Now batting number 22, Andrew Rubicara.
So with one on, Andrew Rubicara stands into the plate for the Rosebuds. And I'm going to turn it over here in just a second to my partner, Austin White. The pitch is outside to Rubicara. That's ball one. Colts don't look too concerned about the runner at first. Checks him. He's taking a long time at the delivery. Another ball low outside and in the dirt. So we've got a 1-1 count to Rubicara now. And that ball also up and out, you know, out of the strike zone for sure. So Meyer really working the count here. The runner takes a normal lead at first, nothing threatening. And that ball looks like it kind of got in there on the edge of the plate for a strike.
You can send it over whenever you're ready.
Alrighty. And that pitch is not going to strike the corner. Alright.
That was a pretty pitch, but just didn't quite get there. I'm not quite sure what Blue didn't like on that one.
Yeah, a few fans are expressing their disappointment with that call. Either way, it's going to be a full count with one out to Meyer. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed for strike three. That'll bring two outs for the Colts.
Meyer looked like he was swinging for the fences and maybe the ones beyond.
Now batting number 10, Jerry.
Almost went to his knees with that go around.
Well, I apologize. That was not Meyer. That was Rubicara.
Sorry.
That's why
you're doing this, not me.
Dumont, now in the box, takes a ball low. So that's going to make it a 1-0 count. As Jeffries sets up, here's the pitch. It's going to be a ball outside.
He's making good pitches. They're just not quite finding the strike zone. He's not missing by much. I wouldn't be too frustrated or worried at this point.
Well, Jeffries throws another one down. Again, this is a little low and away. And you can tell he's getting a little tired of that right now. Just expressing a little bit of a sigh there, a little bit frustrated with the fact that just can't quite catch the strike zone. Here's a pitch. Again, misses the exact same spot as the last three. And that'll send you on.
That boy, Cody. They're about boy.
Second with two outs.
So two walks give the Rosebuds just a little bit of hope here in the fifth.
Now batting number 44, Casey Longacre.
Right, coming up to bat for the Rosebuds is Casey Longacre. He'll see if he can get the second run of the night for the Rosebuds across. Again, runners on first and second, but two outs as Jeffries gets the sign. Well, Blue is calling time now. Jeffries steps off the rubber. Now he's back on. He's going to catch that sign and set back up. Here's the pitch. That's going to be right down the middle for strike one. Making an 0-1 count. Two outs for Jeffries. Longacre didn't want that one. Here's the delivery. That ball is going to be low, and it gets away from Williams. And the runners will advance, holding up at second and third. That'll make it a 1-1 count. Now runners on second and third with two outs. So now even a bigger opportunity for Longacre to potentially put some runs across. And he's looking relaxed right now, I got to say. Jeffries, on the other hand, not so much. After a pitch like that, he might be a little riled. Well, here's the pitch. That ball is going to miss high, way high.
Jeffries looks like he's maybe, honestly, it looks a little bit like he's getting tired. He's starting to kind of shorten his stride, and the ball's starting to elevate.
Tired or riled, one of those two. Either way, Longacre follows the pitch off to the left side, making it a 2-2 count. So Jeffries now hoping he can get out of this inning without letting a run across.
Rosebud's got to be happy about their chances here.
Yeah, well, they sure have an opportunity. Let's see if they can take advantage of it with two outs. Here's the pitch. That ball is in the dirt. Nice block by Williams to keep it right out in front. He sends it back over to Jeffries, who, again, lets out a sigh. Wasn't real happy with that pitch. All right, and here's the delivery. Oh, check swing foul ball by Longacre, and it'll stay 3-2 with two outs.
That one just tipped. He just like kind of defended himself on that one, and it tipped off the bat and went straight down into the ground.
Now the pressure's on for both teams here. Here's the pitch, and that's going to be ball four. So Longacre draws a walk and heads down to
first
base.
Now batting number 20,
three walks, looks like
James Potts.
A mound visit from manager
Fasking.
So three walks puts three people on for the Santa Rosa Rosebuds. The Colts do have two outs here, but that third out has just been eluding them.
So we'll see what the Colts want to do here, whether they're going to leave Jeffries in or maybe make a switch. With two outs, you know, I'm not sure if they'd want to change pitchers right now. It looks like the visit was maybe just to calm them down a little bit, get them settled in.
He probably saw something there in his delivery. His mechanics were just not looking quite right.
Well, either way, we now have James Potts up to bat for the Rosebuds, looking to maybe do some damage with the bases loaded. That ball's going to be way outside for ball one from Jeffries.
Really having a hard time finding the strike zone here.
He's definitely getting nervous having to pitch with the bases loaded. That ball is swung on and fouled over to the left side. Luckily, I don't think that one is going to hit any cars. Either way, it'll make it a 1-1 count. And the delivery, that ball's going to be in the dirt. Another nice block by Williams to keep it in front. Keeps a run from scoring. So that'll make it a 2-1 count now. As Jeffries sets up and delivers. That ball is going to be lifted out into center left field. And the left fielder, Blake Tweet, is going to make a play. And third out of the inning. So, Jeffries gets out.
All right, folks, that is
the pickle there with the bases loaded.
All ice cream
again, 7-1 for the Colts. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical.
For the remainder of the
yes,
I will take an
ice cream. Opening day baseball. Shasta Regional Medical.
Why? Because your announcer is cold, so he's going to have an ice cream.
By IBM Watson Health. In addition, they earned an award of excellence from Health Grades for Patient Safety. Shasta Regional Medical Center is the only hospital in the area to be awarded the grade A of all the hospitals rated in the North State. It is nationally recognized and accredited by the Joint Commission, offering a diverse range of medical services. Shasta Regional Medical Center at 1100 Butte Street in Reading. With that, we'll go ahead and get away.
Convert your calling into a career at
Our summer sessions offer flexible class times and formats with online and some in-person offerings. Plan a cool summer of hot classes by enrolling at Shasta today. Summer session classes begin June 13th. Achieve more, earn more at ShastaCollege.edu. Enroll online today.
Is where you're ready.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to opening day for the Colt 45s, brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Warming up out on the field are the Rosebuds, and it looks like Hamilton is still out on the mound. So even though we are deep into this game and he has given up 7 runs through
it's
4
Rosen
innings, they're going to keep him out there.
Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it.
So... Whoa, big old moth just flew in front of my face.
See, and if you only could see this on TV, that would be the fun part.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's the next step for the Colts, getting on TV.
So, yeah, and for those of you out there who are my age, you remember the movie.
Now, batting for your ready, Colts 45, designated hitter number 24, Garrett Gray.
Either way, it is going to be number 24, Ray, the designated hitter, again the fan favorite, coming out to face Hamilton once again. Ray struck out in his last at-bat against Hamilton, but we'll see if he can do something this time. Here's the pitch. Oh, lined down the third baseline, but that's going to be foul.
He smoked that ball, but couldn't find its way inside the lines.
Absolutely. He wanted that one, getting just a little bit out in front of it. He put a nice swing on it. Couldn't find its way onto the ball field, though. All right. It's going to be 0-1. Here's the pitch from Hamilton. And that's going to be a ball outside. That'll make it a 1-1 count to Ray. And, oh, Hamilton going right into a delivery. And that ball is going to miss the strike zone. No. There's a little bit of confusion there. It missed the strike zone. It looked like there was an appeal for maybe a check swing. I didn't see any sort of swing, but it'll be 2-1 regardless. That ball is going to nick the strike zone, making it a 2-2 count to Ray.
He is working fast right now.
Yeah, he is. He started slow, but now that delivery is just coming quick. That ball is going to be lifted out into right field. I don't know if it's going to stay fair. No, it's going to be caught on the run by the right fielder. That is James Potts out there. That was a nice play on the run, catching it just before it drifted out into foul territory.
Now batting, third baseman, number one, Wyatt Larinaga.
He was playing way off the line and made a really hard run for that ball. That ball looked like it had a chance to get down, and then just as it was drifting foul, Potts put a glove on it and brought it in.
That'll be one out. Here's the delivery to Larinaga, and he's going to pop that ball up, looks like to the shortstop, who's going to easily make the catch. And that'll be two away. Hamilton gets a
now
nice two-out start. This is probably the best start to an inning he's had since the game started.
Number 10, Isaiah Cortez.
Two quick outs.
Well, the quick pitching maybe is working for him this inning.
It seems to be. And Cortez is going to come up to bat now. Hamilton gets a sign and delivers. And we see a swing and a miss there from Cortez. That'll make it an 0-1 count. All righty. And the pitch. That's going to be low. Missing the strike zone. It'll be a 1-1 count with two outs for the Rosebuds. And here's the delivery from Hamilton. Again, low, going to miss the strike zone.
Hamilton is the most animated pitcher I think I've ever seen on the mound.
He sure is showing a little bit of emotion out there. His body language is seemingly all over the place as he misses. No, he hits the strike zone with a curveball. That'll be a 2-2 count, two outs, and here's the pitch again. And tipped but caught by the catcher. That'll be strike three to Larinaga, to Cortez, And that'll be the end of the inning.
Williams made quick work of the Colts that inning.
And that ends the Frozen Fifth. Hope you went out 100%.
And remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. And with that, we will send it into break.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to opening day of Colt 45's baseball, brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, who's proud to sponsor the Reading Colt 45's opening day. We're honored to be ranked as the top 50 cardiovascular Colt hospital 45. By IBM Watson Health. Shasta Regional Medical Center at 1100 Butte Street, Reading. Now, as we enter the top of the sixth inning, the Colts are looking to preserve their 7-1 lead.
Batting for the Rosebuds, number 5, Iggy Lawrence.
It looks like Jeffries is still out on the mound. Either way, here comes Iggy Lawrence up to bat for the Rosebuds. He steps in, and Jeffries is going to come set. And here's the pitch. That ball is bounced. Foul down the left field line. It'll be 0-1 for Jeffries. Here comes the pitch from Jeffries. And that's going to be strike two. So, quickly gets himself into a nice lead. And Jeffries is going to set up now with an 0-2 count. No outs, none on. Stares down, gets a sign. He is working slow. Seems to be frozen. But here comes the delivery. That's going to be swung on and missed. Strike three for Lawrence. And it'll be one out for the Colts.
Now batting number 4, your beer batter, Dylan De La Montoya.
Here comes De La Montoya, the designated hitter for the Rosebuds. And Jeffries is going to quickly go into his delivery, throws a fastball that misses the outside corner. That's going to be ball one. We can get a 1-0 count.
De La Montoya really wanted that pitch, you could tell.
But he holds off, and that one's going to catch the strike zone. Similar spot, just brought it in a little bit. So Jeffries now is in a 1-1 count, and De La Montoya not looking like he wants to swing at anything like that. But he's going to take a hack, send one over to second base, throw the first, and got him. That'll be two outs for the Colts, as Jeffries has made pretty quick work of the Rosebuds.
Now batting
far in
number 3, Robert Muniz.
Here comes Robert Muniz for the Rosebuds, and Jeffries is hoping to get out with a 1-2-3 inning. So he's going to set up and deliver now. And swung on and missed. Now Muniz was just way behind that ball. It didn't look like he was even ready for a pitch. Jeffries with the delivery. That ball's going to miss low. It'll be a 1-1 count with two outs.
One thing I have to say about both sides on the pitching, they are mixing up their delivery times. 1 minute they're waiting long, and the next minute they're quick pitching.
That they are. And that's going to be swung on and missed for strike two. It'll be a 1-2 count with two outs to Muniz as he steps into the box. Here comes the pitch from Jeffries. It's going to be an off-speed, but it'll miss low and inside.
It's a good pitch, just a little too far inside. With a 1-2 count, that was definitely the right pitch to throw.
Absolutely. It's going to be 2-2 now. Here's the pitch, and fouled off. Nice way to fend off the plate by Muniz. Goes back to the parking lot.
Oh, my goodness.
All righty. So now we've got 2-2 with two outs, and Jeffries delivers. Again, fouled back into the net by Muniz. He still looks to be behind that fastball, just can't quite catch up to it. he might need to load a bit quicker, get that foot down a little faster next time if he really wants to put a ball in play. Jeffries with another quick delivery. Swung on and missed, but that ball's in the dirt. Williams throws, but it's going to be a wide. And the first baseman will field it, but not on the bag. So
the way the catcher picked that ball up,
number two,
he was in a position standing behind the runner running directly to the line. He really couldn't throw wide to either side of the bag from there. So he kind of sent one to the inside and just made an off-target throw.
That's going to be strike one to leadoff batter Drew Silveri. But, yeah, Williams probably should have taken his time a little bit more there instead of throwing from an awkward position and creating a bad situation for his first baseman. He had a little bit more time than he gave himself. Either way now, Muniz reaches on that drop third strike, so we've got two outs with a runner on first. The pitch, it's going to be in the dirt for ball two. 2-1 count to Silveri. And Jeffries.
They're holding him at first. Muniz taking a pretty good lead.
And that ball is going to miss high. So I believe that's going to be a 3-1 count to Silveri. Jeffries doesn't even seem to be looking over at first base. They're holding him tight, but he's not looking. There's a check swing.
Did he go?
Appeal to the first base umpire. Oh. They say no. So Silveri is going to get on with a walk.
Now batting number six, Brian Meyer.
This went from a quick inning to a longer one now with runners on first and second, two outs for Jeffries. Now he's really hoping to get out of this one. He had that drop third strike, which was just an unfortunate break for the Colts, and now a walk.
Seems if we could avoid two outs, we'd be getting out of the inning.
All righty, and that ball is going to miss low.
Just like last inning, the Rosebud seemed to be threatening with two outs.
It'll be 1-0 to Brian Meyer. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed by Meyer. That'll make it a 1-1 count.
That with pitch was up. Meyer made a nice, big, fat swing at that one, but came up empty.
Now Jeffries checks the runner back at second. And throws a strike. That'll be a strike two, making it a 1-2 count to Meyer. Not sure why Meyer wanted that high cheese and then lays off the one that was in the strike zone, but, you know, to each their own, I suppose. That ball is going to be fouled off. Good job there from Meyer, fending off strike three. Again, it'll be 1-2 with two outs, runners on first and second. Now, that runner on second has taken a mighty large lead. No one is even holding him on remotely. Now, he could get a large lead. I can't see anything that's stopping him from just easily waltzing over onto third base. I mean, the second and second base, now shortstops maybe fluking him out a little bit. Either way, Jeffries is about to deliver this pitch. That's going to be a ball low, making it a 2-2 count to Meyer.
The Colts definitely want to get out of this inning with two outs. 2-2 count, two on. They are really just wanting this to be over. But
so Jeffries is going to make a move over to second, but nobody is there. So it'll remain it's a 3-2 count. Here's the pitch. That ball is just a ground ball up the middle, but it's going to get through. They're going to send the runner at third home. Oh, and they tried to make the out at third from the runner coming from second. Unfortunately, the ball was dropped and kicked out of the glove. Either way, everyone is going to be safe. There's now going to be runners on second and third, and a run comes across for the Rosebuds. Well,
that was just a little
now batting
up the middle.
Number 22,
it didn't look like
Andrew,
it had much on it, but it just got between the shortstop and second baseman, who were playing both of them wide to avoid any doubles, and then So the runner at second scores easily. The runner at coming around from first gets the third on the play.
Rubicara hits a weak pop-up into foul territory, and the third baseman makes a play and falls down at the end.
You can call that a diving catch, but I think he kind of dove after he had the ball.
Yeah, so. He had the ball and then seemed to fall down. Either way, folks, this game is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. It's been serving the city of Reading for about 50 years. we're going to send this one to break.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlus Tap House, of course. Charlus Pizza, made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlus will not disappoint when you bite into the cheesy, creamy, meaty goodness of their hand-tossed crispy crust. It's an experience you won't find anywhere else in Reading. Pizza just brings people together for food and fun. Charlus Tap House also offers house specials, homemade pastas, sandwiches, soups, and delicious salads. Everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous house special every Friday and Saturday night. Tender, mouth-watering prime rib. Remember, Charlus Tap House offers a wall of tap beer, your old favorite brews, and new additions on demand. It's the ultimate beer experience. Just grab your tap wall card at the counter and pour your favorite or try something new. Charlus Tap House, rule number one, come from a homemade pizza. Stay from a beer wall. You'll find Charlus Tap House in two locations, in the Anderson Outlets and in Reading, at the corner of Shasta and East Street. Charlus Tap House for dine-in, takeout, delivery, and catering. Charlus Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Camacho.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to Colt 45's Opening Day Baseball, brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Here, coming up, we've got the leadoff hitter, Camacho, facing off once again against Hamilton. He's done some damage tonight. And here comes the pitch. That's going to be an off-speed. Apparently that hit the strike zone. That ball looked a little bit low, but it nicks it, so that'll be an 0-1 count to Camacho. Hamilton winds up to deliver. Here's a pitch. Oh, that was a high, high pitch that Camacho hacked at. Sent that ball soaring foul to the left side.
It was a high foul ball to match the high pitch.
Counts 0-2, and Hamilton there with a weird pause during the windup. Maybe trying to throw the timing of Camacho off a little bit. Either way, that's going to be a ball low, so it'll be a 1-2 count to Camacho. Here's the windup. That ball's going to be outside, making it a 2-2 count.
He doesn't shimmy, but he definitely changes his delivery a lot. I would say that maybe picking up some cues from the likes of people like Johnny Cueto.
Well, here comes the pitch, and that's going to be swung on and missed by Camacho. That ball was not in the strike zone, but he went
now
out and chased it.
Number 20,
strike three,
Bryce
for
Tweed.
Hamilton, and that'll make one out. Here comes Bryce Tweed, the second inning hero with the grand slam. He'll come up looking to do some more damage against Hamilton. Now, Ken, are you a little surprised that they've left Hamilton in this long after giving up seven runs?
You know, I am, but if you're a traveling team, you got two more games through the weekend. I think you're probably going to be a little short on pitching by Sunday. And so, yeah, I'm not too surprised that once the game kind of got away from them, that they're probably just trying to let him burn some innings.
Absolutely. And, oh, that is a drive by Bryce Tweed. And there is a sliding catch made by the center fielder. That is Drew Silveri. He missed a tough play like
now
that earlier in the game.
First
that
base,
ended up
number
being
29,
a double.
Nate
but that time,
Scott.
He is able to make the catch on a slide.
That was sheer thievery.
Absolutely. That was a great, phenomenal catch.
It was a great hit, and then the center fielder for the Rosebuds just absolutely stole that.
Well, sweet. Here comes Scott, who sees a first pitch strike, lays off of it. We've got two outs now for Hamilton, and he's going to deliver. That's going to be strike two. So, no balls, two strikes, and two outs coming up for Scott. Steps in. Here's the pitch. Ooh, just a little low. Barely missed the strike zone. Nice little frame job there by the catcher.
So Hamilton grunted after that pitch. I don't know if you could hear it over the radio, but the delivery on that, he sounded a little bit like Martina Hingis.
Well, here comes the 1-2 pitch. And punched out. That's going to be strike three, and Hamilton gets out of the inning with a 1-2-3 inning. So he seems to, after the first two innings, he seems to calm down a little bit, giving up only one run in the past four innings now. So with that, we will send it over to break. Remember, this game is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because our Sleep Number 360 smart bed is really smart. It senses your movement and automatically adjusts to help keep you both comfortable. Plus, it's temperature balancing, so you stay cool. It's even smart enough to know exactly how long, how well, and when you slept, and to help you get almost 30 minutes more restful sleep per night. Sleep Number takes care of the science. All you have to do is sleep. And now, during our Memorial Day sale, save $1,000 on the Sleep Number 360 Special Edition smart bed Queen, now only $19.99, only for a limited time. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
Freshen up your home with spring decor from Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center in Anderson, featuring antique lamps and lighting, desks and dressers, linens and love seats, and more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center in Anderson. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 6. Sunday, noon to 5. Closed on Tuesdays. Call 530-365-1399. That's 530-365-1399.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to the top of the seventh inning in the opening day game for the Colt 45s. This game is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center as the Colts just finished their warm-ups. Williams sends that ball down to second. For the
now
ball,
batting.
And it's going to go back.
Number 10, Jared Dumont.
Now Jared Dumont is going to come up for the Rosebuds, hoping to potentially get some runs across. Again, we're in the seventh inning. The score is 7-2.
Dumont, the four hitter, looking to lead off this inning.
Here comes the pitch. That's going to be strike one from Jeffries. It'll be an 0-1 count. And as Jeffries gets set, he goes into his delivery. Boom, strike two. That one caught the outside corner.
So a raindrop or two still falling here and there. Here in the top of the seventh with the Colt 45s leading 7-2.
And Jeffrey spikes that one in the dirt. Nice little block there by Williams, but that'll make it a 1-2 count to Dumont. Here comes the pitch. And swung on and missed for strike three. Williams sends it around the horn.
Looks like he took a little something off of that pitch.
Last call for alcohol.
Really way out.
Now batting number 44, Casey Longacre.
He decides to go down and take a rest in the dugout.
Yes, he does. That'll bring up Casey Longacre, the catcher for the Rosebuds. It'll be one out in the top of the seventh. And Jeffries winds up. Here's the pitch. That's going to be high and inside. That'll be ball one, making it a 1-0 count. Here's the pitch. That ball is drilled on the ground. Ooh, takes a little bit of a hop and still got him at first. That was a nice recovery by Camacho. That was a lasered ground ball that took a nasty hop, hit Camacho in the chest. He recovered quick, snagged it, and threw a laser over to first base to get the out. Just a spectacular effort from Camacho. But
number 20, James.
Looked like that one might have left a mark. He's a little slow to get up.
He definitely showed a little bit of a slow demeanor after taking that one in the chest.
Either way, here's a little dribbler foul from James Potts. Potts made that spectacular catch in right field earlier in the game. It's going to be a 0-1 count, and here's the delivery. That ball is flopped right over the second baseman's head and into right center field. Center fielder is going to field it off the ground and send it back in. That's a base hit for James Potts.
Potts got around on that just kind of with a little bit of a late swing, got it off the end of the bat, and it just kind of looped slowly over the second baseman, but that gives him a trip to first, and we'll see what the Rosebuds do with him.
Absolutely. Still two outs for the Colts. Runner on first, though. We'll see if Iggy Lawrence, the shortstop, can make anything happen. That ball is going to be high over the head of Lawrence.
That was kind of interesting to watch. So the catcher kind of popped up to catch that one, and as he did, the ball popped straight up and then right back down into his glove.
It's going to be a 1-0 count. And a big swing and a miss from Lawrence. He wanted every part of that ball and got none of it. So it'll be a 1-1 count now to him with two outs as Jeffrey sets up and delivers. That ball is going to be low, making a two-ball and one-strike count.
Lawrence has been swinging big but not making a lot of contact. But Rosebuds in general haven't had a lot of contact tonight. Not a really good one, maybe one hard-hit ball tonight out of the Rosebuds.
And Lawrence is going to hit a hard dribbler down the third baseline, foul. It'll be a two count to him. And we've seen a lot of those bouncing foul balls. Like Ken said, not much hard hit. That's going to be a swing and a miss, but with two outs, Lawrence is headed to first. Williams sets up, makes the throw. Oh, but he throws it into the dirt. The first baseman cannot pick it. So it'll be runners on first and second. That'll be the second base runner who has reached on a drop third strike against the Colts.
And with first base occupied and the runner moving, there were two outs, which allows
Down batting number four, Dylan De La Montoya.
So here comes De La Montoya. Now he's got a runner in scoring position, looking to maybe put another run across. Oh, big swing and a miss from De La Montoya. And he shook his head after that swing.
And here we are again with two outs, and now runners starting to fill the plate or the bases for the Rosebuds.
Yeah, it seems like the Colts maybe just get a little too comfortable after they get those first two outs, and then they can't seem to really finish the job. That's definitely not helping the pitch count of Jeffries. Now, Jeffries was the victim of the earlier drop third strike in the game, so that, you know, that's always frustrating for you as a pitcher.
You get the out, and then it just doesn't happen. And now we've got two runners on, and the Rosebuds threatening to make this a close game.
Oh, and that's some good wood on that ball. Past the center fielder and to the wall. De La Montoya is heading to three. Two runners will score, and he slides in with a triple. Man, De La Montoya, not a big guy, but, man, he got every part of that ball as he drove it out into that right center gap,
now
triple
batting,
valley out there.
Three.
It bounced right just to the left of that big black wall in center field between the 406 mark and the end of the black paint on the center field wall. And plates two runs, and the Rosebuds are threatening to make this a game.
And first pitch to Muniz is going to be a ball. High. It'll be a 1-0 count as Jeffrey sets up. Again, inside. That'll make it a 2-0 count. Well, folks, we've got ourselves a bit of a ball game now. Score is now 7-4, and the Rosebuds have a runner on third base with two outs. So Muniz hoping to maybe get this runner across the plate. Going to be hard if he doesn't get a strike, though. It's a 3-0 count. With two outs. Jeffries with the delivery. That one will catch the strike zone. It's now a 3-1 count. Probably a good pitch to lay off of for Muniz. Not real meaty. And here's the delivery. That's going to miss the strike zone high.
And once more, they give the Rosebuds a free
now
base.
Now batting, number two, Drew
Silvery. Seems to be the two-out
difference
these last few innings.
All right. And Coach Fasking is going to call time, head out to the mound to have another conversation with Jeffries. Looks like he might be getting taken out of the game.
There's action in the Colts bullpen. From here, it's a little hard to tell who's up, but... but it looks like they've got a right-hander in the bullpen warming up now, so maybe they're just trying to give him a little time. Umpire making his way out to the mound, stops about halfway out as Fasking turns it around and heads back to the dugout. Looks like they're going to leave Jeffries in.
All right, so Jeffries is going to finish out this inning, it appears, if he can. Again, folks, if you think about it...
Once again, our bat boy, Jace.
If the Colts had been able to get the out on that drop third strike, they wouldn't have given up those other runs. So, you know, that's got to be real frustrating for Jeffries, knowing that the runs he gave up, all two of them, weren't really necessarily his fault, because he should have been out of the inning much earlier. Either way, that's going to be a swing and a miss to Silvera, who now sees an 0-1 count with two outs.
And the interesting thing here is Silvera represents a tying run for the Rosebuds.
That he does. With two outs, we'll see what happens. But even a base hit would put the Rosebuds within two. A double could put them within one, but they're not going to get anything out of that swing from Silvera. That'll make it a 1-2 count as he whiffs on a high fastball. Now, Jeffries delivers. And swung and a miss. Strike three. And Silvera leaves Dylan Montoya stranded at third base. So two is all the Rosebuds will get. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. And your Colt 45s are still up 7-4, and with that, we will go to break.
Been an amazing 29 years of moments at Wind River Resort and Casino. Now is your chance to win $129,000 with our anniversary prize vault swipe to win promotion. Swipe daily to win free slot play and prizes. Weekly drawings every Tuesday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. One winner every half hour will get a chance to crack the vault to win $129,000. Fail to open the vault and receive $599 cash. Download the Wind River app for all the details and find your moment at the river.
Axiom Repertory Theater presents live on stage Mel Brooks' madcap comedy, Young Frankenstein.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
Young Frankenstein, May 6th through the 29th. Tickets at the box office on Bocelli Lane or online at axreptheater.com.
Why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because our Sleep Number 360 smart bed is really smart. It senses your movement and automatically adjusts to help keep you both comfortable. It's even smart enough to know exactly how long, how well, and when you slept, and to help you get almost 30 minutes more restful sleep per night. Sleep Number takes care of the science. All you have to do is sleep. Save $1,000 on the Sleep Number 360 special edition smart bed, queen, now only $19.99, plus special financing. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Okay, folks. Oh, welcome back. You just missed a long fly ball out into center field by, I believe that was Scott.
Catcher number 21.
No, that was
Ethan
Norton.
Williams.
Norton hit a line drive out to center field that was caught by the center fielder, making one out for Hamilton, who's still out on the mound through the seventh inning. Here comes the pitch. That's going to be outside. It'll be ball one.
I have to say,
to
Hamilton
Williams.
Is actually looking a little stronger as the game's gone on.
That he is. He hasn't given up a run in the past two innings, giving up one 3 innings ago. But still, one run in the past four innings, not bad at all. Here's the pitch. And it's going to be a 2-1 count to Williams. All righty.
So it's become an interesting game here in the bottom of the seventh with the Rosebuds having scored twice in the last inning, now making it a 7-4 ball game.
See, it'll be a 3-1 count now to Williams. And as Hamilton winds up, he's going to throw, and that's going to miss. So Williams
now batting left field number seven, Blake Tweed.
This game is, you know, the Colts seem to be outplaying the Rosebuds. on almost every level. They've been out hitting them, out pitching them. However, the Rosebuds just keep hanging in with the bats. You know, maybe a couple lucky hits. You know, those two drop third strikes that have helped them to stay in this game. As Hamilton delivers, that's going to be a strike. Looked pretty low to me.
The three bases have really really been the difference maker for the Rosebuds tonight. They've ended up with four runs, really all of them unearned because of the free walks, drop third strikes, as you mentioned. The Colts have just given them the four runs tonight. Other than that, the Colts really have outplayed.
Absolutely. Now it's a 1-1 count to Tweet as Hamilton takes his sign and sets up. Here's the pitch. It's going to be outside. Oh, catcher throws over first base, but it's way over the first baseman's head. And Potts is out there chasing the ball down in right field. There goes Williams heading for third. He's going to slide in and be safe. Oh, he looked like he was about to head for home, but holds up at third base.
The catcher came up throwing, trying to pick
you
up
can do it.
The runner at first. It looked like one of those line drive balls got over the first baseman's head, went all the way to the wall. The throw in was a little bit late coming into third. He slides in, gets in there safely, and the ball dribbled away from the third baseman. And as it did, looked like he was going to make a run for home and just stopped dead in his tracks before he steps down the baseline and slowly returned to third base. And now we've got a nice big conference on the mound.
All right. Well, Tweet is still up to bat. It's a 2-1 count. Now, I'm not sure I would put that play 100% on the catcher. Now, it was not a good throw by any means, but it was online, and the first baseman didn't seem to make much of an effort to get up there for it. Perhaps that is just a matter of ability and not effort.
It was definitely a hard, straight throw because it went down the line, like I said, like a line drive. In fact, it actually hit the foul line after it got past the first baseman.
And now the Rosebuds are making some changes to the field. Looks like they're just switching around some positions. Sent in the center fielder. Looks like he might be going in to grab an infielder's glove, heading to second base.
Yeah, so the Rosebuds making some changes here, and second base is the only hole out on the field at the moment. Time has been called. We're waiting for him to... He's kind of taking his time getting out there. But, hey, it's a beautiful evening, so why not?
All righty, we've now got a runner on third. Again, the count is 2-1 with one out as Hamilton delivers to Tweed. That's going to be a nice curveball that falls right into the zone. It will make it a 2-2 count to Blake Tweed.
The Tweed brothers have been doing some damage tonight. His brother Bryce hitting that grand slam earlier tonight.
And here's a pitch. That ball is going to be fouled back into the net. Tweed really jumped on that one, but couldn't quite get a hold of it, fouling it straight back. And Hamilton is going to get the ball back. Takes his sign and sets back up. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed by Tweed. That was definitely a big boy swing.
Now batting your designated hitter, number 24, Garrett Gray.
Anything in the air would have given them an opportunity for a sack fly and another run, but... Now with two outs, you've got to get something out of the infield to make damage, to do some damage here.
Here comes Ray stepping in against Hamilton. Hamilton winds up and delivers just a little outside. Misses the strike zone. It'll be 1-0 count to Ray, designated hitter. And Joe sets up. Here's the pitch. That's going to be in the dirt. A nice block by the catcher, Longacre, to keep the ball in front and keep the runner held over at third. Maybe saved a run there. Looked like he took it off the face mask. Get away. Hamilton is going to look down and take his sign. He sets up. Delivers. That ball is grounded into the gap between second and first. That'll be a base hit. for Ray and will score Williams, making it an 8-4 ball game. So just like that, the Colts have added on once again to their lead. All right, here comes Laronga, hoping to do some more damage with two outs. We've got a runner on first.
That was a nice little bit of opposite field hitting.
Now batting number one, White.
Absolutely, that's textbook definition of doing your job. Got a nice little base hit into the gap, scored a run. So, with two outs, Hamilton delivers a ball to Laronga. It'll make it a 1-0 count. Here's the second pitch. Again, that nice little curveball falls right into the strike zone, making it 1-1 with two outs. And here's the pitch. There's a runner going, and there will be no throw from the catcher as Ray has a stolen base.
Laronga way out in front on that pitch. That was a nice off-speed pitch from Williams.
Absolutely. It'll be 1-2 count with two outs now. And here's the delivery. Oh, and that ball is flung out into center field. The catch is made on the run by the center fielder, Silveri. Actually, I believe they changed center fielders, so I'm not sure who made that catch. Either way, it was a nice play. Now the Colts get one run across, making it an 8-4 ball game. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, proud sponsor of the Colt 45's opening day.
Colt 45 is now cleaning your farm because of the heavy-duty washing machine donated by Carmona Supply Center. Wind River Resort and Casino, food, games, concerts, spas, and a hotel.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Alrighty, folks, welcome back to the top of the eighth inning of Colt 45's opening day baseball. It appears we have, let me make a correction there. Top of the eighth inning. I was correct on that. Here we go. Pitching now is going to be number 22. That is Plummer.
Billy Plummer for the Colt 45's coming in here in the top of the eighth inning. Billy, related to Major Leaguer Bill Plummer, who was the backup catcher to Johnny Bench, if you have any baseball fans out there.
I sure hope we have a couple
now
of baseball
batting
fans
number
out there.
Six, Brian Meyer. Game.
All right. Well, Williams throws down, and the ball comes back to Plummer. And with that, we will start off the top of the eighth with Brian Meyer up to bat. Meyer steps in, and here's the pitch from Plummer. That ball is way high, going to miss the strike zone, making it a 1-0 count.
So with the 2-3-4 hitters coming up for the Rosebuds, they've got to be feeling good with having made up some ground, only a 4-1 deficit at this point.
And that's going to be swung on and tapped foul back into the net. It'll be a 1-1 count for Meyer as Plummer looks down and gets a sign. Now he is going to Oh, he's going to have a meeting with Williams. Looks like there's a little bit of confusion over some of the sign calling here. So Williams will go out there, try to clear up some of this confusion. They'll have a nice little conversation.
So here it is, almost, 10:30, and going into the eighth inning here. The Colt 45's fans have stuck this out through rain delays and everything else, and are continuing to cheer on their hometown heroes here, the Boys of Summer.
All righty. It's a 1-1 count. Meyer steps in, and Plummer gets his sign, delivers. That ball is going to be quite a bit inside. It'll miss the strike zone, making it a 2-1 count. All righty. As Plummer looks down, gets his sign once more, comes set. Here's the delivery. That ball is tipped back into the net.
Plummer reached back and grabbed another gear on that pitch.
Yep, that one had some velo on it for sure.
Meyer having a hard time catching up with it.
And it'll be a 2-2 count with none away in the top of the eighth now. Plummer sets up. Pitch. That ball is spiked in the dirt. Williams keeps it in front. That'll make it a full count for Meyer. So let's see if he can get anything done. Or let's see if Plummer can finish the job here. As he sets up, gets his sign, and delivers. That ball is swung on and fouled back into the parking lot. And Plummer will get a new ball. He's looking down, getting his sign again.
That was the announcer's card.
Uh-oh. They just announced that.
The announcer's card.
I hope they weren't talking about us. That ball is going to be fouled.
Out of play.
Not even in the field. Somewhere over on that right side. Again, the count stays full. Meyer now doing a great job of fouling some balls off, staying alive.
This is the seventh pitch of the at-bat, so he's definitely battling here.
And Plummer sets up, delivers. That's a nice off-speed. That catches the corner. And Plummer puts Meyer away, wins that long at-bat.
Totally froze him on that one. Meyer just did not expect that off-speed pitch. He was looking
now batting number 22, Andrew.
Just plain froze. So he takes a nice long walk back to the dugout.
All right, now we've got one out in the top of the eight. Here's the pitch from Plummer. It's going to be high and outside. That'll miss for ball one. That's going to Rubicala. Plummer sets up again, delivers, and that ball is going to be inside. It'll be two balls and no strikes with one out to Rubicala. Plummer gets his sign, looks down, delivers. Here's the pitch. It's going to be high. That'll be the third consecutive ball that Plummer has thrown, making it a 3-0 count to Rubicala. Here's the pitch now. And that one will catch the corner. Plummer gets his first strike of the at-bat. It'll be a 3-1 count with one away. Now it looks like Plummer knows what pitch he wants to throw as he sets up. He's going to send that pitch down, and it'll be ball four as Rubicala takes a
now
walk.
Now batting number 10, Jared Dumont.
So this inning, the free bases started only one out instead of two. So we'll see if the Colts can turn a double play and help Plummer get out of this inning.
Interestingly enough, the second baseman is still playing pretty wide. They aren't expecting anything. They must be expecting it ball to be hit over to him because he is not what we would call double play depth at all. He is way out in that gap. Shortstop has shifted over a ways. He's now closer to second. That ball is going to be swung on into the gap right past the first baseman. That'll be a base hit. Rubicalo will stay at second. So we've got runners
now batting number 44, Casey Longacre.
Plummer. So Plummer's got himself into a little bit of a predicament here. Hopefully he can make it out without too much damage done.
So Longacre's looked pretty good at the plate tonight. I don't know if he can do anything here with the opportunities he's been given, but there's only one out, and with bases loaded, with runners at first and second, they could put this game within one here real quick.
Yeah, they definitely could, but we'll see. You know, most of the Rosebuds, like we've said, haven't been able to put much good wood on the ball tonight, Longacre included, but... we'll see if he's able to do something. Even a base hit would score at least one and close that gap between the 45s and the Rosebuds. Plummer throws a ball low. That'll miss the strike zone. It'll be a 2-0 count with one out here in the top of the eighth. All righty. Plummer looks down, grabs a sign from the catcher, checks back at the runner on second. They're holding him a little tighter than they have been all night. Here's the pitch. That's going to be up almost at the head of Longacre for ball three. It is now a 3-0 count. Not the situation Plummer wants to be in with runners on first and second and only one out at all. He really wants to try to avoid loading the bases here.
Plummer's delivery's a bit interesting. Almost a sidearm pitcher, but with just a slightly higher arm slot. Almost a three-quarter, but... he reaches back and with a short stride, it just looks like a catapult coming off there, but sideways.
Well, Longacre gets his first strike. Plummer gets his first strike at bat. As he hurls a fastball down in there, it'll be 3-1 with one out, and he's hoping to do the same thing once again on this pitch. He sets up, gets a sign, and the delivery. That ball is lined over to the right side by Longacre. You know, he almost got a hold of that one, but fortunately he was driven foul over to the right side. That'll make it a full count. So Plummer's come back a little bit, hoping now to finish the job. One out, runners on first and second. Scores 8-4, favorite the Colts. Here's the pitch. And no swing. That ball's in the dirt, and the bases are now loaded. So here
we go again. It seems to be the story of the night, the free bases. That
now batting number 20, James.
Now with the bases loaded, the tying run comes to the plate for the Rosebuds. I don't know, Austin. This has been the story of the night. But they just keep working themselves out of these jams, but I don't know how many times they can keep doing that.
Yeah, well, they've already given up 4 runs throughout the game. Like you said, most of those runs have come off of these free bases. A lot of little flukes that have been happening. Well, here's the pitch, and that one pops out of the glove of Williams. That's going to be a ball. It was high, delivered to James Potts. Now, luckily for the Colts, Potts hasn't done much with the bat tonight. He's been pretty quiet. However, the bases are now loaded, and there's only one out. So even just a fly ball, would it score at least one run, close that gap? And the umpire says no, that ball is going to miss inside. It'll be a 2-0 count.
Plummer really struggling to find the strike zone right now.
Absolutely. And the last thing he wants to do right now is give up a walk. Walking in a run is just terrible for the morale of the team and especially the pitcher. Oh, and that ball just misses low. Now, that's a disheartening pitch for Plummer.
And Plummer's body language says it, too. He's taking a breath, licks his fingers, shrugs his shoulders, and steps back to the pitcher's plate.
Now he's really going to try to come back. He's got a 3-0 count with the bases loaded. That's going to be ball 4. So he walks a runner on 4 straight pitches, and with that, walks and a run.
Now batting number 5.
With
Iggy
that,
Lawrence.
Iggy Lawrence comes up to the plate representing the winning or the go-ahead run. And with that, manager Barrett Fasking will come out to talk to Plummer. Lawrence having a nice little conversation with the umpire. Wait a second.
We've got action in the bullpen, too. So we look down to the Colt 45's bullpen. There's a left-hander up. And we'll see if Fasking decides to go there or if he's going to let Plummer continue.
And
they've
and
got a few runs to play with.
Number 14, we need to name on number 14.
Well, now that I'm looking down at the plate, I realize that is not Lawrence in the batter's box. That is number 14, and unfortunately, we do not have a number 14 listed.
Number 14 on a roster.
So maybe they pulled him out of the stands.
Well,
we'll just go with that.
We were told at the beginning of the game that this team had just been put together. They're not too organized. They're almost a summer recreational team. All these guys are old friends that are coming together for the summer. So we were warned that there might be some issues with uniforms and names and confusion there. So we'll just call him number 14 for now, as we don't have a name for him.
We'll just call him Casey. You know.
And he hits a shot, but it's going to go straight over to the left fielder. That'll be a sac fly. One run will score. That sure was a shot. I'll tell you, man. But unfortunately for the Rosebuds, we're only going to get one across.
Number four,
and leave
Dylan,
runners on first and second.
Montoya.
With two outs. De La Montoya had a nice triple deep into the depths of the ballpark earlier in the game. Let's see if he can do something like that again. You know, a hit like that, a triple, would tie up the ball game. It's now 8-6 for Colts. Here's the pitch from Plummer.
So Montoya, the eighth hitter, isn't exactly the guy they want at the plate in this situation, but they'll have to work with what they've got.
Well, if you remember, De La Montoya he's hit the hardest ball of the night out there into Triple's Alley.
I know. You wouldn't think this is the guy they want, but he definitely has done the damage for the Rosebuds tonight. And they're within two runs. I mean, who would have thought with a 7-1 lead earlier in the game they'd be threatening here in the eighth with bases loaded and two outs?
Yep. Well, Plummer's going to get his sign and sit up. He's hoping to get out of this inning quick. Here's the pitch.
Ooh.
That's going to be high. It'll miss the strike zone. That'll make it a 2-0 count to Montoya. De La Montoya. Apologize. Either way, Plummer's going to set up once again. Really just trying to get out of this inning now. That'll hit the strike zone. There's some good velocity on that pitch. You could hear the pop from up here. Catcher's glove.
So you got runners at first and second and two down. Rosebud's threatening to tie and potentially even take the lead here.
That ball's going to be in the dirt. It'll be a 3-1 count to De La Montoya. And we'll see if anything gets done here. Get a much closer ball game than it was. I'm really not sure how that happened because, like I said, the Rosebuds bats have not exactly been hot, but neither has Colt 45 pitching. And with that, ball four will be thrown to De La Montoya, and the bases are once again loaded for the Rosebuds. So,
now batting number three, Robert.
Looks like they're going to let Plummer pitch one more. So one more hitter at least. Action still in the bullpen there. Looks like they've got a righty up now for Colt 45s.
Well, I imagine this will be the last batter regardless for Plummer, as it is the number 9 hole. So I figure if he's going to get anyone out, it'll be this one.
You can do it!
The first pitch strike looking to Muniz. And sets up once again after getting the sign, hoping that he can get out of this inning now.
So the tension building here.
That's strike two. Again, Muniz watches it go by.
So the tension building here, but with a 0-2 count, things falling slowly in favor of the Colts.
All right, here's the pitch. Oh, and it hits him. Now that is... No, it did not hit him. It hit the end of his bat.
He leaned into it. The umpire saying that it hit the knob of his bat now, rather than his hand. So he's forcing the batter to come back to the box. And so what looked like was going to be a free base is now just another pitch.
So for some reason, Fasking is coming out to talk to the umpires. I think he might be arguing that it should be strike three, perhaps. Maybe like a bunted foul ball.
I think there's two things that could be at play here. One would be the possibility that they would rule it a bunt attempt, because he did sort of lean into it. The other one being that he didn't really make an attempt to elude the ball when it came in, and it was almost as though he leaned into it. In either case, the batter would potentially be out. But umpires, looks like they've conferenced and have come to a decision, and it looks like it's a 1-2 count, and they'll continue the game.
Well, either way, that's a nice little break for Plummer, luckily not hitting the batter. That would have been a disaster, letting in another run off of a hit-by-pitch in an 0-2 count. So it looks like it'll be...
So the fans come into their feet here.
It'll stay 0-2.
Fans come to their feet trying to will Plummer's third strike or an out here.
Plummer sets up. Here's the pitch. Oh, and hits him in the head. And Muniz is down, laying on the ground.
That didn't look good. I think he's okay, but let's just pray he is. That hit him on the kind of the lower part of the back of the helmet.
And he stays down for 10 seconds or so before getting up to his knees.
Coach coming out to take a look at him. He's standing up. Coach is making sure he's okay.
It looks like he might have just been a little bit shocked by that fastball coming in right at his head.
Let's give Robert a round of applause, please.
He turned to try to take it off the back. Unfortunately, it just drove him in that lower part of the back of the helmet.
So if they didn't hit him on the previous pitch, they hit him on that one.
Now batting number two, Drew Silvery.
And like we said earlier, that is indeed going to be the last batter that Plummer will face, as Fasking is going to call to the bullpen. The score now is 8-7.
We're going to see a pitching change here, so we'll hold it here for a second, see if we want to go to a break. But we're going to have a pitching change here, and so with that, I think we can take a short break.
Hey kids, what's your favorite kids' meal at Black Bear Diner? Is it a mini volcano, burger sliders, chicken strips, or strawberry French toast? This month, have a grown-up bring you into Black Bear Diner, and while you're here, ask for a happy cupcake coloring sheet, get creative, and have them post your creation for a chance to win a meal for you and your favorite adults. We can't wait to see what you come up with. Happening this month only at Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
The pandemic has taken a toll on our country.
The Dow plunging hundreds of points, its worst showing of the year.
A shaky economy, financial strain, all made worse by politicians trying to take advantage.
California, New York, a lot of the blue states where businesses are really struggling to find people. And so what can they do?
Homelessness, rising crime, constitutional rights infringed upon by shutting down schools, churches, and small businesses.
There's a lot going on in the economy. There's a lot of uncertainty at the kitchen table.
Now is the time to stand up for community. Now is the time to move people forward.
I'm Kevin Cry. I'm not a politician. I'm a lifelong Shasta resident, and I don't recognize what our community has become. I'm running to lead with backbone. I'll prioritize public safety and make our community more affordable.
Our local leaders have let us down. We can do better.
Let's bring the North State back.
Paid for by committee to elect Kevin Cry, Shasta County Supervisor, District 1.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to the top of the eighth inning. New pitcher brought in place of Plummer. It's going to be Paul Gallegos coming in for the Colts. Now, remember, folks, the bases are loaded here with two outs. So this is definitely a high-pressure situation. The score is 8-7 in favor of the Colts right now. But that could quickly change with just one swing of the bat as the leadoff hitter for the Rosebuds, Silvery, comes up to the plate looking to do a little bit of damage. Gallegos winds up. Here's the pitch. That's going to be a first-pitch strike.
Gallegos' fastball looks really good tonight. I would have to say it's the best fastball we've seen out of either side and either any pitcher off out of either side.
And we'll see if the Rosebuds can do anything with it here. That ball is going to be a little bit outside, making it a 1-1 count with two outs.
So here it is, a save, four-out save situation if Gallegos continues to pitch through this inning and into the ninth.
All righty. Gallegos gets his sign. Here's the pitch. That ball is going to be drilled out in the center, and it'll fall for a base hit. Looks like two runs are going to score for the Rosebuds. There was almost a play at the plate, but the ball dribbles away from the catcher, and the runner's going to advance to second and third. Wow, so a tough break there for the Colts, and a blown save
now
for Gallegos as the Rosebuds
six.
Take the lead 9-8.
Brian Meyer.
And they're still not out of it, and as we've noted tonight, the two out, although this one started with one, but with two outs, the Colts have just not been able to get the job done in like three different innings tonight. And this one, now two runs across.
And the first pitch, Meyer fouls one back into the net.
Right,
just a really tough break for Gallegos, trying to come in and
broken windows.
Get one out there. But Silveri just put some good wood on that ball, loops a little base hit out in the center field, and scores two runs. And Meyer will go around on a little bit of a check swing from a nice curveball out of the hands of Gallegos.
And I think this is Meyer's second at bat of the inning, so I believe they've turned the lineup completely over this inning.
They absolutely have, and they've scored five runs here. And that is going to be a little bloop. It'll fall. Oh, my goodness. That's going to be a play at the plate. Williams can't field the ball, however, off of the bounce. And Meyer will advance to second. Another tough break. Not even a well-hit ball, but that was just able to find that
center
field gap.
Now batting number 22, Andrew.
Unfortunately, the Colts have now fallen behind 10-8. Actually, I believe the score is
11-8. I think they scored two on that in the scoreboard. Yep.
Yes, they absolutely did. So the Colts, originally up by six runs, 7-1 earlier in the game, have now fallen behind 11-8. Oh, boy. Let me tell you, of these seven runs that the Rosebuds have scored this inning, several of them have come with two outs. You know, the Colts just have just been struggling with two outs, and Gallegos, unfortunately, has not been able to get the job done since he has come in.
The free bases have been the story tonight. Just way too many walks, a couple of hit pitches, drop third strikes, and almost all of them coming with two outs in the game. In each inning. So it has been a tough throw. Oh, the catcher deciding he's going to make a play
back
for the guy at second.
Attempt at second. Doesn't work out. Ball dribbles away from the second baseman there, and it'll go back to Gallegos. It's going to be a 2-1 count to Rubalcaba, and Gallegos says he wants a new ball. That one got a little scuffed on that back pick. Man, I'll tell you, one thing I've noticed here in this game is that the Colts have not fared well with plays at the plate. I don't think even one
has been close.
I mean, they've all bounced off of the catcher or bounced away from the catcher. Williams makes a nice stop on a ball in the dirt there. That'll make it a 3-1 count through Casa. But yeah, next week in practice, they might want to be practicing those plays at the plate. That's a light grounder to first baseman, who's going to pick it up and tap first. And that'll be the third out of the inning.
And in the words of Vin Scully,
security.
Thankfully, this
year comes the Red Bulls 45 game. We always have
security at top of the inning.
Air
Colts are going to come back
game
and try and get a few of those runs.
Fans,
back
please
and,
be sure to pick up
so
your empty cups, any wrappers, and trash.
All right, I guess we'll send
tonight
that to break then.
Your help.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew. This month's cigar of the humidor is La Única Dominican Primeros. Premium shade-grown Connecticut wrappers combined with a long filler blend of aged Cuban seed Dominican tobaccos. Providing a smooth, mellow to medium-bodied experience, it's a rich and balanced selection with subtle hints of nuts, cream, and fruit. La Única Dominican Primeros. Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlus Tap House, of course. Charlus Pizza, made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlus will not disappoint when you bite into the cheesy, creamy, meaty goodness of their hand-tossed crispy crust. It's an experience you won't find anywhere else in Reading. Pizza just brings people together for food and fun. Charlus Tap House also offers house specials, homemade pastas, sandwiches, soups, and delicious salads. Everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous house special every Friday and Saturday night. Tender, mouth-watering prime rib. Remember, Charlus Tap House offers a wall of tap beer, your old favorite brews, and new additions on demand. It's the ultimate beer experience. Just grab your tap wall card at the counter and pour your favorite, or try something new. Charlus Tap House, rule number one, come from a homemade pizza. Stay from a beer wall. You'll find Charlus Tap House in two locations, in the Anderson Outlets and in Reading, at the corner of Shasta and East Street. Charlus Tap House for dine-in, takeout, delivery, and catering. Charlus Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to the bottom of the eighth inning. The Colt 45s trying to get back some of the seven runs that they gave up in the top of the inning. Here comes Cortez at bat, and he's going to watch a strike go by. It'll be a 0-1 count with no outs. I apologize. It looks like perhaps that was a ball. Maybe it was 1-0. Swing and a tap foul ball to the left side of the field. It'll be a 1-1 count now to Cortez.
This has been an amazing turn. I mean, up 7-1, 8-4 a little bit later in the game, and now down 11-8. The Colts really want to make a comeback here and prove themselves in this opener, but that's not the way they're going
to do it. Now batting number 12, Mr. Camacho.
Send him packing back to the bench. That's a strikeout from Hamilton. Now, it looks like the Colts have just lost a lot of their intensity, especially over this last inning. Giving up seven runs can be really disheartening for a team. But if they want to stay in this game, they're going to need to kick it back into gear. They're only down three runs, and they've scored more than that in an inning already. So, you know, it's very possible. Well, Hamilton deciding he doesn't want the ball. This is probably the fourth or fifth time he's decided to send the ball back in the game. He gets a new one, though, and it looks like he's liking this one all right. They're pals. So here's the pitch. Nope.
And if a runner was on, that would be a balk.
Oh, yeah.
But since nobody's on, Williams is just kind of...
He's kind of shimmying around up there.
Yeah.
Here's the pitch.
He kind of looked like he might have been trying to do the Texas two-step before he decided to throw a pitch.
This is Camacho up to bat, by the way. He takes a ball, so it'll be a 1-0 count. Here's the pitch. And a swing and a miss.
Off-speed pitch.
Camacho had that double in the first inning, that leadoff double. But since then, he hasn't been able to do much with the bat. And he's going to watch another strike go by. It'll be a 1-2 count to Camacho now.
It really wasn't the pitch he wanted to hit. It was a low kind of slider that... Just caught the zone.
He's going to foul that one high off to the left side. It'll go into the parking lot. Count now stays 1-2 with one out here in the bottom of the eighth. Camacho trying to get something started for the Colts. They really need it. And he's going to watch a ball go outside. Hamilton, bottom of the eighth inning, he has gone the entire game, giving up eight runs, but his velocity's still looking okay. I mean, I can't imagine his arm's feeling too hot right now. The count's going to be 2-2 to Camacho. Here comes the pitch. That's going to be dribbled over to the right side. The first baseman kicks it out into the outfield, and I don't know if that'll be a base hit or an error. I would say that's greater than ordinary effort. So I don't know. I think that could be a base
hit.
Now
batting,
we'll have to see
number 20,
Bryce
Green.
It was a really slow hit ball. The pitcher was making a beeline for first base while the first baseman had to be pulled over towards second. And as he went to make a play for the ball, it kicked off his foot and out into right field. So I would probably have given him a hit just based on the proximity of all the players. I don't think they could have gotten him out at first anyway.
All righty. Well, Bryce Tweet The grand slam culprit from the second inning is coming up to bat. And there goes the runner. The throw down is going to be in time. And they got Camacho at second. Now that is a tough break for the Colts. Great throw by the catcher for the Rosebuds. That's going to be Longacre. Sure had him on a hose right there. Just a nice right into the glove. Laid a nice tag onto him, and Camacho is sent packing back to the bench.
Kind of watching Longacre there as he throws him out. He kind of stared down the Colts bench. So we'll see what that turns into.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyways, it'll be a 2-0 count to Bryce Tweet. Tweet hoping to make something happen here for the Colts. They've got two outs and no runners on, down three runs. Here's the pitch. And a dribbler over to first base. First baseman will, it looks like they're calling that a foul ball.
Looks like it bounced off the plate. It kind of went straight down into the ground and with a high bounce, took a long time coming down. The umpire called it foul. It looks like because of where it hit initially.
Well, even if it hits the plate, it would still be a fair ball. The only way it wouldn't is if it had perhaps hit Tweet himself or bounced first in the batter's box, which one of those two things must have happened. Anyway, here's the pitch from Hamilton. And big boy swing from Tweet there, but it's just going to be fouled straight back into the net. Count now is 2-2 with two outs. And Tweet still trying to make something happen.
Tweet's done some damage tonight. I think he's got six RBIs, if I'm not mistaken. The grand slam home run earlier tonight, and then a base hit that I think is plated too early in the game.
Either way, pitch from Hamilton is going to be high, making it a 3-2 count to Tweet. Now Hamilton hoping to end the inning here, get back to the bench, hopefully ice that arm. Oh, that is a deep fly ball. Now, I don't think there's any doubt about that one. It is long gone. Bryce Tweet hits his second home run of the game, and that'll put the Colts 45s within two runs. Hamilton kicking the bird around the mound. He ain't happy about that one.
Bryce, isn't that nice?
Bryce
Get it
Tweet
over the wall, that's all.
Comes around the bases and taps home plate. The crowd is getting back into the game now. They're sure happy about that.
Now batting number 29,
that was an absolute
Nate
shot into deep right field. And here is the next pitch to Scott. Scott takes the ball.
Tweet going to both fields tonight, right and left, with a home run to each.
Absolutely. And he has fared very well against Hamilton. Oh, whoa. And there's a long drive by Scott. That's going to be caught at the warning track by the left fielder for the Rosebuds, though. And that'll end the inning for the Colt 45s. So the Colts get one, hoping to fend off the Rosebuds in the top of the ninth and maybe come back and score a couple more runs. Now remember, folks, tonight in the Third Base Club VIP Pavilion, we have O2 Employment Services, the North State's largest employment and HR company. They have been taking care of all things employment for local businesses for more than 20 years. They specialize in staffing, recruiting, HR, payroll, workers' comp, and benefits. And they are a proud supporter of our community and the Colt 45s. And with that, we will go to break.
Hi there, this is Erica Jones, and I am a conservative mom with deep roots here in Shasta County. I want my family, along with your family, to have the right leadership in our local schools. Judy Flores is the quality and ethical leader we need for another 4 years. Grab your ballot and vote Judy Flores for superintendent of schools. Judy has boldly represented us at the state and local level. By sending letters to the governor and legislators, she has valued school choice and expressed the importance of local control. I seriously can't thank Judy enough for getting Shasta County students back to in-person learning sooner than most schools in California. Judy Flores has my vote.
At Paid For by Shasta Vote, informing voters and electing qualified candidates, supporting Bridget for district attorney, Johnson for sheriff, Darlene Allen for clerk, Flores for superintendent, Browning and Resner for Supervisor 2022. Committee major funding from Sierra Pacific Industries and Piscanta Band of Nomlaki Indians. Not authorized by a candidate or committee controlled by a candidate.
And it don't seem so long.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to the top of the ninth inning of the Colt 45's opening day game. Colts are trailing 11-9.
Number 10.
With the Rose Bowl coming up to hopefully add on to their lead.
It's been an interesting game. The Rosebuds trailing 7-1 earlier and now leading 11-9. Colts getting one in the eighth, and Gallegos now having blown the save, going for the win.
Yes, he is. And with that, he'll throw a first pitch strike to the batter. Now, folks, this is not what I would call a pitcher's duel. Again, the score is 11-9. As Gallegos delivers a ball just a little bit outside, that'll make the count 1-1. Pitchers on both sides have seemed to struggle a little bit. The difference being, however, the Colts have gone through, I believe, three. They're on their fourth pitcher now. And the Rosebuds have stuck with the same one through the past eight innings, although he's given up nine runs. Gallegos delivers. Again, that's going to be high off the catcher's glove. It'll be a 3-1 count. Now, we don't have the pitch count for Hamilton, the Rosebud pitcher here right now, but I got to say, that has got to be well above 100.
I would be very surprised to see Hamilton come out for the ninth.
Absolutely. Anyway, here's a swing and a miss from the batter, and Gallegos now has a 3-2 count on his hands.
I think it's Montoya, is that right? Ooh.
Well, whoever it is, hits a ground ball to shortstop, guns it over to first, and that'll be the first out of the inning. Nice, easy ground ball there for Camacho. Either way here, we've got some...
Now batting, number 44, Casey Longacre.
Coming up to bat. He's going to be looking to hopefully help the Rosebuds extend their two-run lead here. Gallegos winds up, delivers. Here's the pitch, and it's going to be low and inside. It'll miss for ball one. It'll make it a 1-0 count. Alrighty, Gallegos gets the ball back, takes his sign, and now delivers. And that ball is going to be drilled out into shallow center. It'll fall for a base hit. And Longacre gets
number 20, James.
Longacre just kind of muscled that ball out into center left, shallow center left. Got well over the shortstop's head. Nobody really with a chance to get it, but not a lot of power behind it by a long ways.
Yeah, not a ton of velocity. However, he did get some decent wood on it, was able to poke it out over the shortstop's head, and either way, he's on first base now. Gallegos delivers, throws a ball, sorry, a strike, hits the outside corner. That'll be 0-1 with one out. Colts now hoping they can perhaps turn double play and get out of this inning as quick as possible. Here's the pitch, and that one's fouled straight back into the net. It's going to be now an 0-2 count to Potts. And Gallegos sets up. Here's the pitch. That's a nice curveball. Looked like it hit the corner, but the umpire says no. So that'll be a ball, making it a 1-2 count.
He put that ball right where he wanted it, but Potts just didn't chase. The catcher's glove did not move a lick.
And now Potts swings and taps one foul towards the left side. Again, the count stays 1-2. We've got one out, runner on first base for the Rosebuds.
Gallegos really hoping for a ground ball here just to get out of the inning and get the Colts up, see if they can't make their comeback.
And he tries to throw an off-speed there, but it misses high, so that's going to be a 2-2 count. Gallegos gets the ball back, looks down, takes his sign, sets up. Here's the delivery, and it'll just miss outside. Gallegos not happy now. Body language is showing a little bit of disappointment with that call, maybe with the pitch, the location. Either way, he's not too pleased. He'll deliver now. Strikes him out. Swinging, so Potts is sat down. And that'll make two outs for the Colt 45s. Now we've got Iggy Lawrence coming up.
Number 14, Charlie Parnu.
Never mind. It's going to be Charlie Parnu.
And see, this is the guy we called Casey earlier because he came up with bases loaded and a chance to do some damage. And he did. I believe his base hit plated two last inning.
And this time he'll watch first pitch go by for a strike. It's going to be an 0-1 count with two outs. There he goes now. Just hoping to end this inning quick without any damage done so the Colts can go back in and score a couple of runs. That'll be a nice, easy ground ball to the shortstop. Oh, but it's overthrown at first. The runner at second will head to third. Oh, man. Parnu is going to stay at first. We've got runners at first and third now. Don't know what happened there to Camacho, but that throw was way wide.
Now batting number four, Dylan.
The first baseman, Scott, just could not handle it. So I believe they'll call that an E6.
Scott stretched out to make the catch and ended up pretty much on the ground, laying flat, trying to get to that ball without leaving the bag, but just couldn't do it.
Now Gallegos throws one in the dirt to De La Montoya.
He'd be smart to kind of take a slow walk around the mound, but